final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Buddy, it's your favorite mad science guy with messed up hair, big troublemaker in the alternative energy world. So, we're going to introduce the world to a new phrase here. Well, it ain't actually a new phrase, but it's actually new to me because I never even heard of it before. But anyway, I got a couple little podcasts that I want to play through and maybe throw some commentary in there, that kind of stuff. But let's just get this game, this show on the road. By the way, if you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html where you have access to not one, but four separate chat rooms. And if you scroll down underneath those chat rooms, you'll see another link down there for People for People Radio Network. Go over and say hi to those nice folks. And don't forget to check out Wolf Spirit Radio as well. Some more wonderful folks. There's a lot of wonderful folks on these networks. So anyway, let's have some fun here today. Let's see what's going on here. Check in with the news and such.
Negative electricity prices. Any pluses in the...
What'd he say? Hold on there. Gotta rewind that for a second.
Negative electricity prices.
Yeah, I think he just said what I thought he said. Let me try that again.
Negative electricity prices.
That's so doggone humorous, I gotta hear it one more time.
Negative electricity prices. Any pluses in the new normal? With countries around the world striving to increase the penetration of renewables in electricity mix, both the frequency and duration where episodes of renewable generation exceeds demand are increasing, resulting in more frequent and rising negative prices on the wholesale market.
There's that word again.
Where episodes of renewable generation exceeds demand are increasing, resulting in more frequent and rising negative prices on the wholesale market.
Man, I'm just kind of enjoying hearing that.
Where episodes of renewable generation exceeds demand are increasing, resulting in more frequent and rising negative prices on the wholesale market. This situation is likely to only get worse until significantly more storage is added to store the excess energy for use at later times, or better ways are found for demand to respond to the fluctuations in prices. Both options are being pursued with increased vigour, but neither is likely to be sufficient in the near term because far more renewable energy capacity is expected online, well ahead of the required storage. A case in point is Germany, where the proportion of renewable generation rose to 35% in the first half of 2017, up from 30% the previous year, according to the German Renewable Energy Association. And that will not be the end of it, as the government has pledged to move to a decarbonised economy by the mid-century, with an 80% renewable target in place for 2050. Germany, of course, is not alone in moving towards a decarbonised future, but is amongst the biggest experience frequent and significant negative prices in recent years. On some days, Germany now gets up to 85% of electricity from renewable sources. Similar episodes are being encountered more frequently in Denmark, Ireland, Spain, Portugal, and other places around the world with rising renewable generation. For example, both California and Texas in the United States now encounter negative prices on their networks with regularity due to the rise of solar and wind in both cases. German energy consumers were paid to use power over the Christmas period, thanks to a slump in demand, warm weather.
Now what did you say there? Let's run that by there one more time.
Counter negative prices on their networks with regularity due to the rise of solar and wind in both cases. German energy consumers were paid to use power over the Christmas period, thanks to a slump in demand, warm weather, and plenty of wind power on the grid, the Independent reported last December. Prices slipped into negative territory on December 24th and again on December 26th, according to the website of the EPEX Spot, which is Europe's biggest power trading exchange. As the paper reported, the holiday period resulted in severe imbalance between demand, which is low as factories and offices shut down, and a surge in wind generation. In short, the perfect storm. According to the New York Times, on Christmas Eve, industrial and big commercial consumers were offered in excess of €50 per megawatt, or $60 per megawatt, to use the excess energy.
What? Let's run that back by there one more time there. I know this is probably getting annoying, but I'm enjoying this. Listen to this.
On Christmas Eve, industrial and big commercial consumers were offered in excess of €50 per megawatt, or $60 per megawatt, to use the excess energy.
So, what he just got through saying was that they was producing so much power that they actually had to bribe the consumer to use more electricity and would pay them to use some of the excess electricity to get it off their grid. Because, you know, there ain't no such thing as free energy, all right? That's it. So that's why you got to pay somebody to take it away from you, because you got too much. We're just getting started, folks. I'm telling you, this is probably going to be a rowdy show, and I'm probably going to make somebody... This is the dirty little secret of electricity. By the way, Mad Science Show is live. I got to play that one more time. That was pretty funny. I love that.
On Christmas Eve, industrial and big commercial consumers were offered in excess of €50 per megawatt, or $60 per megawatt, to use the excess energy. There were few takers. Developing robust price...
Hold on a second. He just said there were few takers. Now they're offering them money. Please use some of this electricity. We'll give you extra €50 per whatever, kilowatt, gigawatt, I don't know. Take what you can. We got too much. We got too much electricity. Too much. Dad, burn it. We got too much. Oh, I'm loving every minute of it. Hey, let's keep on going. But there ain't no such thing as free electricity. All right? Just to get that out of your head. All right? But we'll give you 50 extra euros if you just use some of it. All right. Because the things are backing up and it's probably getting too hot. you need to cool stuff down. Hey, use some of this power. Leave your lights on. Don't shut those lights off, boy. Don't you know? We got to save the power company. All right, here you go.
Responses and demand options will not be easy, nor will it be simple to store the large amounts of excess energy with today's limited storage capabilities. In short, the problem of negative prices is likely to get much worse before it gets any better.
Oh man, boy, I tell you what, it's going to get much worse before it gets better. That's for sure. Let me see here, we got another one of those.
Power prices go negative in Germany. Positive for end users? Germany has spent over 175 billion euros, or just shy of $200 billion, over the past 2 decades to promote cleaner sources of electricity. That enormous investment, whilst cleaning up the grid, is now having the unexpected impact on consumers, who are actually paid to use power on occasions.
Who are actually paid to use power on occasions.
Power prices recently plunged below zero on the EPEX spot, a large European power trading exchange, as a result of low demand, unseasonably warm weather, and strong breezes that provide an abundance of wind power onto the grid. Such negative prices are not the norm in Germany, but they're far from rare, thanks to the country's efforts to encourage investment in greener forms of power generation. Prices for electricity in Germany have dipped below zero, meaning consumers are paid to consume power more than 100 times in the past year alone, according to EPEX Spot. But what causes negative prices? Well, basically...
Hold on, before it gets too far. You ever wonder why you never hear about this on the mainstream media? Why don't you ever hear on the mainstream media that there are incidences where the power companies have to pay people to bribe them, essentially, please use more power. We got too much power over here. Can you please use some more power? You know, we'll give you some money. Come on. Yeah, and a lot of times they ain't getting no takers. You know, big industries that probably you would think would want some. Hey, yeah, I'll fire up some extra machines and make some extra money. But no, they're not. They're not wanting to do that. You know, they got their machines running top anyway, and so. You know, they're already satisfied with their production. You know, we throw these doggone extra machines on there. We're going to have more product than we need. So now you keep your electricity. That's what they're telling them. So anyway, let's see what else is going on here, man. I'll tell you what. There ain't no such thing as free electricity. You can take that to the bank. The mainstream media ain't going to tell you that you might get some money if they make too much power.
When the supply of power outstrips demand for it. Demand is particularly low on weekends and holidays when factories are idle and offices are empty. The energy supplies that Germany depends on, however, are far less predictable than they used to be.
So look, if you live in that area, don't turn your lights on until the weekend. That way you can get paid to use the lights, alright? And turn them all on, every single one you got. Suck the power grid dry. Here we go, let's keep going.
The power, in particular, is highly dependent on changes in weather patterns. Giant spinning turbines produce, on average, around 12% of Germany's power, but on windy days they can generate several times that amount. At the same time, the other mainstreams of the country's electricity supply, especially some coal and nuclear power plants, are unable to dial back quickly enough, leading to negative prices on the trading markets as supply spills over and overwhelms demand.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is there's a guy in Michigan. I had a video, but I didn't post it in here because I already saw it before, and I think I already posted it, but there was a guy in Michigan that their own local town turned around and throwed him in jail for putting up a doggone wind turbine. He didn't want to take it down, so they fined him and they threw him in jail. Well, he finally took the doggone thing down, but that wasn't good enough. They wanted him to bust up the concrete that he had it mounted to as well. And so, you know, one thing led to another, and he ended up going to jail for trying to reduce his carbon footprint. Now, here's another thing that you might notice. If you ever go out and you're out there joyriding or gallivanting around through the great outdoors and all that, and you see these huge wind turbines out there, big giant wind turbine farms. And so, if you happen to really pay attention when you're driving by and look at them, you see some of them are turning, but a lot of them are not. They have to shut some of them down because they're making too much power. And this is where this whole negative price comes in, where it drops below zero. How does a price drop below zero? What's below zero? Anyway, let's hear what else you've got to say here.
Several countries across Europe have also experienced negative power prices. Belgium, Britain, France, Netherlands and Switzerland, for example. But Germany's foray into negative prices is the most frequent. At times, it has to be said, Germany, extensively connected to the rest of Europe's power network, is able to export its surplus electricity to its neighbours, helping to balance the market. Still, this isn't always possible. Their markets themselves are saturated, and so it experiences negative prices far more often and far deeper than other countries. One recent example saw power prices spending 31 hours below zero, and at one point they dipped as low as minus 83 euros, or minus $98 a megawatt hour on the wholesale markets. In other words, anyone who was able to hook up a large blast of electricity for that time was paid 83 euros per megawatt for the trouble.
83 euros!
We're all familiar with the concept of supply and demand, and demand on the power grid is fairly easy to predict. It's low overnight, it's high when we're showering in the mornings, and then higher in the evening when everyone's switching on their TVs and cookers. But it's the supply side that's causing the real problem. Now, the major drawback with both wind and solar power is they wax and wane with the breeze and the sunshine, and don't respond when the power's actually needed. An obvious solution would be to sort of suck in and store the power when it was produced and use it later in the day. There is infrastructure to do this. Pump storage, for example, where you pump water to the top of a hill and let it flow down later on, can be used, but there's not sufficient quantities there to supply the whole grid. Down the line, a lot of hope is pinned on battery storage, both on the grid level and a vast suite of electric vehicles that have to suck up the power when we're not using it.
Don't
battery storage capacities, however,
technology.
Are not yet advanced enough to take in all of the excess generation. And because older power plants that run on fossil fuels take a long time to ramp up and reduce electricity generation, they're not able to respond decisively enough to the shifting supply. Like most traditional power systems we see across the world, Germany's was designed to match output to demand. As Tobias Kurth, the managing director of Energy Rainpool, a Berlin-based consulting firm, says, one of the key challenges in the whole transition in the energy market is renewable power. We now have technology that cannot produce according to demand, but is producing according to the weather. This does beg the question of what can actually be done, though.
But see, here's the thing, man. You know, look, they're talking about how you need energy storage, technology. We've got awesome supercapacitor technology. We got technology to store all the energy that we want. Here's the whole thing. The reason why these turkeys are having a problem is because they see the writing on the wall. They already know that they're essentially in the death spiral, as far as the energy industry goes, that they have to figure out ways to compensate for all this alternative energy. But the most thing is they got to figure out a way in order to make sure that whenever it's all said and done and you get shifted over to these so-called alternative energies, that they're going to still be able to charge you for it. You know, the AKA the smart meters and grids and stuff like that. They They want to be able to charge you more money. But at the stage that they're in right now, they got both power plants on the line. They got the ones for coal-fired power plants, or what they call fossil fuels, which is a huge misnomer. There ain't no such thing as fossil fuels. That's pure ridiculousness. But neither here nor there. Let them have that. Let them have their whole climate change. Matter of fact, I'm starting to think that the climate change people out there are basically helping my cause here. The free energy deniers, aka climate change, they're basically making it easy on me. Because basically what they're doing is they're putting enough pressure on all these people out here to go to alternative energies, but at the same sense they're sticking it to themselves because they're getting free energy, but they're going to pay for it instead. They're going to go ahead and still stick with the power company, same ones that they're hollering about. And then when it's all said and done, when they finally do get on these alternative systems permanently and the coal-fired power plants are all set down, now they're going to be complaining about cleanup, because you're going to have all these coal-fired power plants, nuclear power plants, and different stuff like that that'll be sitting idle. They'll basically like be abandoned assets where you can't run it anymore. You don't need to run it anymore. You got all this other energy that you're clean renewable energies. We've moved away from burning fuels in order to be able to produce electricity, and even hydrogen technology, being able to produce electricity with that, and thermal electricity, all these different alternative energies that we've mentioned so many times. The mainstream power companies, they want to be able to control this being introduced in there, so they can make this transition from charging you for the coal-fired power plant or the nuclear power plant to all these alternative energies. See, it isn't that energy isn't free, it's just that they want to be able to charge you for it. Otherwise, they'd be out of business, and they don't want to go out of business. So it's all a joke, man, every last bit of it. Even the oil subsidies that oil companies get. You think that you're paying, a lot of money because of scarcity, when in fact the governments will actually pay oil companies to cut back on production because it's messing with the market. You get too much supply and demand. You got more supply than you got demand for. And next thing you got to pay people to take your gasoline away because you got too much of it. See, that's a that's a dirty little secret that a lot of people don't know. The free energy deniers out there, and the trolls, and even the environmentalists, they have been basically kicking themselves in the booty for so long because they don't get it. They just don't get it. If they could get their environmental, concerns met, and they could get free energy at the same exact time. But instead, what they want to do is they want to be, they call me a climate change denier. Which, yeah, I deny climate change because the science is bogus, flat out. No ifs, ands, or buts. 150,000% beyond a shadow of a doubt, climate change is a fraud of biblical proportions. I mean epic proportions. It's a fraud, flat out. And so I've been sitting out here preaching to the world about free energy, and what do I get from my efforts? I get called every name under the book. I get told I don't know what I'm doing. And then, you get these quantum physics people that come in there. The hoodoo voodoo of science, quantum physics. Quantum physics is nothing more than, if you don't understand what's actually going on, you can just make it up. Because in the quantum world, you can have two things in two places at the exact same time, regardless of the laws of physics, the physics say that two objects can't occupy the same space and time. But yet, with quantum physics, oh, sure they can. Quantum physics, everything, even the unicorn and the pink elephant and all these things that you hear about, Sasquatch and the Loch Ness Monster, yeah, they're there. And don't forget the little green aliens from all kinds of different dimensions and outer space, yeah, they're there, sure. But don't talk about free energy, because energy's not free, even though places in Europe are trying to bribe companies and people, hey, please use some of this extra power. And then, you know, of course, saying that, well, that's only when it's really windy outside. All right? Well, that's only when it's really windy. But then again, when the sun's out and it ain't windy, you still have the same doggone problem. Because regardless of whether it's solar or wind, you still have surges of power during certain points. And you got to get rid of that. You can't just leave it in the power grid. So, free energy's already here. You've already had free energy, but the problem is they don't want you to know you've had free energy all along. It's just a mere fact that, you know, we got to make sure that when we make this transition from so-called air quotes, I'm air quoting right now. Look at this. See all those air quotes? Woo! Woo! And one of them, woot, 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 woo! Look. When they make this doggone transition from the fossil fuel, air quotes, then they're going to try to want to make sure that they're still in business. So they're investing large amounts of money in order to get the government off their back so they can reduce the carbon footprint and make the climate change people all happy. You know, the environmentalists are happy, the government's happy, everybody's getting paid, everybody's got taxes and all that. But here's another dirty little secret that they don't tell you about, is that the moment that we go completely off the grid as far as their normal grid you got going on right now, now you got all these doggone power plants you got to tear down. Then the environmentalists will be like, hey, wait a second, you guys, they got to clean up your mess over there. We're tired of looking at that ugly old plant. What are they going to do with it? You know, they're going to recycle that? I'm hoping something happens. So, you know, while you're sitting there listening to me rant and rave about all this kind of stuff, there are wind turbines all over this planet. And, you know, if you go places like out towards Michigan or whatever, you know, there's huge power plant farms. There's solar farms out there, and all these are producing, you know, power when it's windy. They're producing power when the sun's out. You know, even so, you know, they've got two supplementary power sources. It's incredible how much energy that these things are capable of. They have to actually shut some of these doggone turbines down and probably even have systems to shut down some of the doggone solar panels as well, because they're producing too much power. You know, a really sunny day or something like that. But these folks out there that are free energy deniers that come around and they troll all these alternative energy guys like myself that keep telling everybody, you know, energy is free. Oh, there ain't no such thing as free electricity. You gotta buy this and you gotta buy that. Well, hold on. Hold on a second. We're already buying all of this. We're buying these wind turbines, we're buying these doggone solar panels, and we're paying for the subsidies for them to cut back on fossil fuels so that they can turn around and stay profitable while they got their doggone power plant sitting idle. So, you're buying it all. You're paying for the for them to sit idle. You're paying for their investment in solar and wind and other renewable technologies. You're paying for it, you know? And so there's where you people out there that like to say that we got climate change and climate disruption and global warming or whatever it's going to be next week when the math don't add up. And so you free energy deniers out there, you just cutting off your nose to spite your face, because you could have got what you wanted and free electricity at the same exact time, because you paid for it, you know, but you're paying for it twice. You pay for it via your taxes, you pay for it via the doggone power company, and you're paying for it now, you know, so whatever. Yeah, let's listen to some more of this craziness.
Negative prices indicate that Germany's power grid, like most of the others around the world, has not yet adapted to the increasing amounts of renewable generation that's being produced. Put bluntly, there's a whole lot of stress on the grid. For now, technological improvements that would help store additional power and better distribute it across countries are lagging, but regulatory tweaks could make a difference. Germany, for example, does not do enough to encourage customers to increase their use at times of power oversupply. On a basic level, that could be as simple as providing incentives for people to turn on washing...
Look, He just said that they're not doing enough to get people to use more electricity. Run your washer, run your dryer, turn your lights on, leave your lights on. During these particular points in time, we'll pay you to use extra electricity. We got too doggone much electricity. Now, of all the times I've been called everything under the sun for saying that energy was free, and now you get to hear these people talking about how, you know, we're going to give you money if you use more electricity. So, I would say that that's kind of like a little bit of vindication, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you say that? I mean, come on. They want to control. They want control of free energy. That's not. It's not that we don't have free electricity. There's more energy than we could ever use in a trillion, 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 bazillion, or whatever's higher than that, to infinity and beyond. There's more energy than we could ever use. But, you know, see, it's the control of free energy and the cost to you that matters. So, what's it going to cost you to use this free energy? I'll tell you what it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you whatever they feel like it. Because at any given moment, if they're not making enough money, they can shut down several of these and just claim that you're using too much power, doggone it. You see what I'm saying? It's the same thing that they're doing to you with the oil companies. They shut the oil companies down. The government gives them doggone subsidies so that they can still remain profitable and in business. Then when they need some extra oil flooded onto the market, you know, so they can fluctuate those prices up and down, you know, get more tax money out of you or whatever, and higher prices at the gas pumps, when they want to fear you into thinking something's going on, well, then all you got to do is say, look, we're running out of oil, so you guys are going to have to pay more. You ain't going to run out of oil. You ain't going to run out of wind. You ain't going to run out of sun. You're not going to run out of thermoelectrics, hydroelectrics. You're not going to run out of none of the dirty little secret all the way back to J.P. Morgan and all these people back there. Was they were selling you something that you could have got for free all along if you'd have known the science behind it. And Tesla wanted to give it to everybody for free. He wanted to make wireless energy transfer a real thing. Well, sort of he did, because now we have cell phones. Ain't that cool? Cell phones and TV and wireless internet and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But, you know, the whole thing is, before it gets in your hands, it has to be sold to you. You have to pay for it. You know, you got to pay your dues, because the man, he owns the free energy that you're, you know, wanting to use. You know, you go over and flip that light switch, you'd like to know that you don't have to maintain nothing. You can just get electricity. And so what? I'll give about, you know, a third of my paycheck away every month or whatever, so that, you know, all I got to do is go and flip the switch on there. But in reality, if they really seriously wanted you off the power grid, if they really seriously wanted you to be energy independent, then they would have already put this technology in your hands to where they wouldn't be complaining when you had a windmill up. You wouldn't be getting thrown in jail in Michigan for, you know, putting up a wind turbine. And your neighbors. Your neighbor's saying, oh, that's an eyesore, that's ugly, that's against the environment. And so your neighbors are helping the cause of you being enslaved by the power industry. Flat out. It's taxes that you're going to have to pay for using, you know, their power, which is your power to begin with, because you in reality paid the subsidies to keep these people in business. So the dirty little secret of electricity is flat out that it is indeed free. Alright, so you're going to get these, what I call them earlier, these doggone free energy deniers coming out there, and you're going to say, oh, well, energy ain't really free, because you got to pay for the parts, and you gotta pay for the machinery, and so it's cost you all this money to do all that. Well, how much money does it cost you to pay a monthly third of your income in order to try to have electricity and live in the luxuries that you live in? Alright, so, you know, well, you might have to put a little investment in. The power company did. They put an investment in, and now they're putting so much power to the grid, they got to be able to shut some of it down or bribe people to use more electricity, where they were saying, turn off your lights, we can't produce enough power. Now leave your lights on, run your washer, run your dryer, you know, dry your dog off with a hair dryer, whatever. Watch some more TV. Plug in your electric car. Something. You're producing, we've got too much power. But there ain't no such thing as free electricity. Yeah, ask the free energy deniers. They'll be the first to tell you. And the environmentalist frauds, the trolls out there. Environmentalists coming out there telling you that the doggone wind turbine's going to chop birds in half. Look, you can't have them blades out there. You're going to chop the birds in half. You can't have half birds flying around in different directions. You got to stop that. And they look ugly. Well, what do you want? You want your cake, and you want to eat your cake, and you want somebody else to make the cake for you? Is that what the gig is? You're like, come on. Seriously, if you cared about the environment and you hollered about the coal-fired power plants, but now you're hollering about the windmills, and look at them real god-awful, ugly-looking solar fields out there. Well, man, that looks terrible. Oh, man. Let's hear some more of what this guy's got to say here.
Machines when power is plentiful and cheap. Companies as well can make even better use of such guidance, ramping up energy-hungry tasks at times of low cost of electricity. Coming back to our central point, therefore, do German consumers, and by extension, consumers around the world, benefit from negative prices? Clearly, well, not directly.
What? Then, pretty much not directly, because when companies were offered extra money to use more power, and when the people were offered to use extra money, more power, hey, I don't want to take a shower right now. I already had a shower. Well, take another shower. Take 5 showers. Take 10. You know, make it a family affair. Get all, everybody, take a shower. You know, get it over with. You know, use up all the electricity you can. Leave the lights on while you're doing that. Blast the stereo. All right? You know, look. The pure ridiculousness of this entire thing is that, you know, I've been told by so many so-called educated people that, you know, energy's not free, all right? The laws of thermodynamics say, oh, really? No, they don't say, you say, because you don't understand the laws of thermodynamics, and even Lenz's law for that matter. If you understand what's causing it, and you know that you can not cause this reaction, and you can use energy yet even more efficiently, this makes this even more funny to me. Because not only are we producing too doggone much power, we have the means by which to use it more efficiently. So the industry out there is basically shooting themselves in the foot. And so are the doggone environmentalists. The environmentalists out there are making fools out of themselves. The climate change freaks out there are making fools out of themselves. And the average Joe, or the trolls out there running around telling you why, oh no, there's no such thing as free energy. That violates the laws of physics. Right, yeah, the conservation of energy thing. This is why these folks are telling you not to conserve. They're telling you to use more power during these specific points in time. Now, God forbid they turn around and figure out a perfect way to store all this energy, and they realize that there's this nifty little invention called a capacitor. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be lead-acid batteries, because you can store energy in capacitors and lead-acid batteries. And the battery technology is getting incredible. So when the battery technology and the doggone capacitor technology improves yet even more, you're already going to figure out that you can store enough energy to get you through the night, and all you got to do is charge it up during the day, and then by that time they'll already have regulations in place that says, you can't be off the power grid. We need your money. And this old doggone petrodollar debacle going on. Everything's based on the petrol dollar. It used to be backed by gold over here, but now it's not backed by gold. It's backed by oil. This is why you're getting such a rash every time you try to talk about free energy, because they pay people to come out here and aggravate you. That's what they do.
The wholesale costs of power make up only around a fifth of the average household bill. The rest is a slew of taxes, fees to finance renewable energy investments, and charges for use of the grid. Whilst this means that bills are lower than they otherwise would be, certainly for the power price component, negative prices will of course eventually feed through. All those other charges I mentioned actually far outweigh the negative pricing components, and household bills have actually risen over the last few years.
Yeah, they charge you more money. Even though they had done shut down some of these doggone deals, we could have kept more power coming to the grid. So, let's get this straight. You can't get off the power grid because they need the doggone money, and the environmentalists are hollering about it looks ugly, so, you know, they don't want you to have those in your yard and stuff like that. Homeowners associations and such. Well, the whole thing is the industry is fighting for control. They want to make sure that when you shift over to these clean, renewable, alternative energies, that they still get paid. It's as simple as that. And you're going to support this. And listening to all the negativities of why it is that you can't, wind power. Oh, it's not windy all the time, so it's not going to work, you know. Somewhere on this planet it's windy. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Make you a smart grid and interconnect all of these countries together. And you have electricity 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Solar, wind, hydro, thermal, all this. You can take all the coal-fired power plants, all the doggone nuclear power plants, offline, tear them down, recycle the materials, and you got free energy worldwide. But the whole problem is that's not the way the system works, all right? And all these problems supposedly outweigh the fact that, these negative energy prices, you know, when it drops down below zero per kilowatt or whatever, they got to figure out a way to get rid of some of this so that there's, less energy so they can raise the price back up on you. Less oil so they can raise the price back up on you. Anybody seeing a trend here besides me? I mean, come on, folks. How many times am I going to be called an idiot because I keep saying electricity is free? You know, I'm just trying to show the world a more efficient way to use it so that you can stick it to the power company by using energy in the most efficient manner possible. And so if they're generating too much power, plus you have all your energy savers online and you're not needing that much power, then they're going to turn around and say, will you buy some more electricity from us? Turn on your jacuzzi. Turn on your hot tub or whatever. Turn on some floodlight for Pete's sake. Turn your radio up. Turn your TV on. Use it. And we'll give you money. So try to tell me electricity ain't free, you know? This is it. The excuse is given for why negative power. I can't even remember the terminology now. It just cracks me up, man. I'll tell you what. I'm enjoying every minute of it, though. Let's hear some more of this guy stuff.
Whilst negative prices are creating problems for power generators, they're also enhancing the value of their more flexible installations, including large storage systems. And this will also soon factor into consumer, who will be paid for the flexible generator themselves. In fact, we can think of each consumer on the system will soon be a micro power station. The electric vehicle in our driveway, the battery storage in our garage.
What did you say? See, eventually, each consumer is going to be their own power station. See, I talked about one time where if you built your car right, you could literally use your car for your power plant. Like, you back your car in your garage and it plugs into a system. And now, when you leave, there's a battery bank that keeps all the main things running. So that, you don't have to have the whole house on when you're gone, obviously. But it'll keep the temperature up and it'll keep, you know, whatever lights you want on or whatever, you know, important electronics need to be running while you're gone, like your digital alarm clock or whatever. But then when you go to work and you jump in your car, which has been running all night, so it's warm inside your car, you don't even have to shut the thing off. You just leave the doggone thing running all the time, all right? And it's your power source for your house. So you drive off with this car, and the brain in your house it recognizes you're off to work. So, well, we can conserve on this and this and this. So it starts shutting things down that aren't going to be used while you're gone that you don't need running while you're gone. And so you drive to work, and you plug into the work, and that keeps your system charged up, and all the excess electricity from your car actually goes into you help your workout. So now your boss can afford to pay you more because he's not paying so much for electricity because you're adding to the mix there. So in a perfect world, you ain't paying for electricity. Electricity's paying you. Now, ain't that a joke? I mean, come on. These folks sitting there saying, we're making too much electricity. Let's give you some money so you turn some more lights on.
Solar plants on our roof are smart appliances, each responding dynamically and flexibly to the requirements and needs of the grid. One of the biggest concerns with renewable energy is what to do when the wind stops blowing or the sun stops shining. But sometimes, as we've seen, you can actually have the opposite problem. As renewable energy becomes more prevalent, countries are going to have to figure out ways to store that energy and manage that flexibility for long periods of time. Whilst energy storage, smart grids and flexibility can help to smooth out the power grid, a constant power supply is better than one that's always fluctuating. Even if, sometimes, that fluctuating grid actually gives us free power.
Oh, wow. Free power. That has something to do with free electricity? Well, look. If you had some smarts to you, and you really kind of thought about physics, and you thought about gear ratios, and you thought about wind turbines, and you thought about solar power, you could actually design your doggone wind turbine as a motor generator so that even when it was not windy outside, and it's just sunny, you know, then that's extra energy that you're not using, because solar panels put out a whole lot more power than you actually use. And that's why we got to have regulators, because if you don't have a charge controller on there, it will overcharge your batteries and destroy them. So you actually got to stop some of that power from coming in. It don't matter whether you're on a 12-volt system, a 24-volt system, a 36 volt system or higher. It doesn't matter. When you're running those solar panels, you are producing more energy than your solar panel system and your charge controller and your doggone battery bank can handle. So you got to tell the sun, no, I can't use no more power. That's what you got to tell the power company. I don't want to turn on no more lights. I'm trying to sleep. And I don't want the radio blasting because my neighbors will call the cops. All right? So, you know, you got to cut back. So you ain't even using all the energy that the sun is trying to shove through those solar panels. You're not using the thermoelectric portion of it, so why not take the thermoelectric portion off your solar panels and use it to keep your wind turbine spinning all the time with a motor generator? But there ain't no such thing as free electricity. Ask the free energy deniers. They'll tell you. They'll flat out tell you, oh, no, man. No, there ain't no such thing as free energy. Yeah, boy, that violates physics. And then the trolls will come out there and say, oh, this is fake. That's a fraud. This is BS, and you're stupid. You don't know nothing. You're just a tinkerer with crazy hair, look like Albert Einstein on crack. All right, well, so...
The energy sector has been navigating rapid technological innovation, slowing demand, and rising electricity prices. A steady shift towards renewable energy products is also exacerbating the disruption of utilities' business models. Over the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to be diving into the disruptive drivers facing electricity utilities and explore some of the potential risks along with opportunities that traditional business models will need to embrace as the market continues to evolve.
So we're getting ready to go down the road of disruption of the power industry. See, the power industry is disrupting itself because they're fighting for control. They want to make sure that when it's all said and done and they make this shift over to satisfy the government and to satisfy the environmentalists and to ensure that they stay in power and still have a lot of money, they need to make sure that they do this properly so that they can still be a power company when it's all said and done. So, you know, they know that the writing's on the wall and the clock's ticking, and eventually they got to shift over to these other types of new renewable energies. And so when these systems are putting out too doggone much power, it's disrupting the price in the markets, and it's disrupting their financial, and it's probably making their life, miserable or whatever. Because if you're a business owner, you don't want somebody out there saying, hey, you don't have to buy it from him, I'll give it to you for free. You know, like nature has told the world, yeah, here's all the free energy you can use if you want it, you know, and that's the whole thing. It's not that there ain't already free energy, it's that the people have to demand it. And they're not going to demand it because they already think they're fighting for environmental causes. They think that, you know, they've been told that physics says it's not possible. And there's all kinds of reasons why you can go out there and try to prove to somebody that your college education is better than their either lack of college education or their genius or their ideas or whatever. And so you can poo-poo all the alternative energy things out there. And you got all these knuckleheads out there faking free energy devices so that they can get clicks, so that YouTube and their advertisers will pay them lots of money. Plus, it muddies up the water, and it makes like the conspiracy tinfoil hat wearing thing, whenever you want to hide the truth from people, you just muddy up the water. Tell them two sides of the story, and you decide for yourself what is true. Alright, do aliens exist? These guys say they do. They might be crazy. Or maybe aliens did exist and they just don't want you to know it. They want you to make up your own mind, but they got to muddy the water up, give you two choices. Make this big documentary to point to the fact, wow, it looks like energy is free. But wait a second, this guy could possibly be a fraud. Never mind the fact that they're out there, you know, on a regular basis discouraging anyone in alternative energy. And even to some extent, whacking them, you know? Doing them in, suiciding them, giving them heart attacks, I'll buy all your designs. Really? How much you give me? Yeah, I'll give you all this, but you got to make sure you never tell nobody about it. What? You mean you ain't going to use it? You just going to put it on the shelf? Well, no, I'm going to keep it. I'll make sure the people get it because the world needs free energy so we can stop going to war over oil and resources. So let's get into this here.
The underlying economics for conventional energy markets and systems have always shifted in favour of decentralised models of generation, especially focusing around solar PV and storage at the residential level, and larger renewable projects at the community and grid scale. In effect, this has created excess uncertainty for existing traditional energy market participants, and concerns are already being raised with regard to the future of industry investments and business decisions for large energy companies. With the attractiveness of new energy products and services, such as solar PV and storage, only increasing, the electricity industry is now regarded as ripe for potential disruption. In particular, the new wave of technical innovations is set to disrupt business models, dramatically affect the availability of capital for the industry, and further intensify issues within the electricity market. As market dynamics continue to force the hand of electricity utilities globally, changing the business model away from one of a conventional, large-scale, centralized grid-based system to one that embraces distributed solar and storage across the entire...
I got to interrupt here for a second. Here's an idea. Let's say you got a little town, a little village or something. Call it Wacky Smack Debacko Black Cracko Town or something like that. That's where all the crackheads live. Now see, if they had some smarts, instead of paying the power company all this doggone money, they would get together and they'd invest their funds as a community, and they'd build their own little centralized power grid. You know, once these solar panels were all set up, knowing that they're producing more energy than they can use, they're completely off the mainstream power grid. See, that solves that whole entire problem of them having to worry about the transition, because you just transitioned your community to yourself. So in this crazy little town right here with everybody with crazy mad science hair, you know, don't worry about having a bad hair day in this town, because everybody's crazy in this town. So let's do something crazy. Let's take all our resources, all our brilliant individuals, and let's make a people's power company. Right? Forget all the doggone mainstream power grid. Run your lines on your own property back and forth, side by side with theirs if you like. And heck, in the process of that, you'll probably steal some energy from them too, because that, you know, magnetic wave going fluctuating back and across your line might assist your power. Nonetheless, we got to do this on the up and up. Have them come in and take all your all their power equipment out, right? Tell them to come out there, get all their power equipment off of your property, and you as a community, pump up your own solar panels and your own wind turbines and all that kind of stuff. And then you guys work on your own storage banks, and everybody pitches in, everybody gets free electricity once this thing's all up. Then every once in a while you might have to maintain a little bit of something here and there. But nonetheless, now, you know, you got that resolved. You've already reduced the carbon footprint for your little crazy town right there, you know, and so now y'all getting free electricity. And then the town over there be saying, how come y'all ain't paying electric bill? As we're not connected to their craziness over there. That's why we're not paying electric bill, because we all stuck together and we made a people's power company. So you got a people's power company in this crazy town. You got a people's power company in that crazy town. And there's another one town over that direction, north, south, east, and west. These people made themselves a people's power company. And so, you know, hey, what do you know? Now everybody's got the problem solved, you know. But you can't have that, because there's no such thing as free electricity, right? That's what they said. That's what the free energy deniers said. So, you know, that's it. Anyway, let's hear some more of what this guy got to talk about here. Because we got problems, man.
Network is the only long-term solution for electricity businesses. In the past decade alone, the energy sector has been navigating, amongst others, rapid technical innovation, the falling cost of distributed generation, increased interest in demand-side management, slowing trends in demand, and shifting government policies on renewable energy incentives. In short, these factors are set to fundamentally change the way our electricity systems operate. As with all things in life, knowing where we're going, it helps know where we've been, and traditional business models for utilities reflect the centralized system of electricity generation and network designs that were built up and expanded after the Second World War. This centralized system also drove a standardized approach to system security, network planning, and in fact underpinned the design of the entire market. Going back 30, 40, 50 years, having large gigawatt-sized thermal and later nuclear power plants in this world entirely makes sense. Indeed, the natural consequence of this approach, given there's an inherent relationship between volumes, profitability, and the high barriers to entry inherent in the industry, where the electricity sector became a natural monopoly. Yet, leap forward to the early 21st century, and advances in technology, environmental concerns, and public policy drivers mean that the interests of utilities, preventing stranded assets, maximizing electricity sales, and preventing increased competition, are in tension with the interests of consumers and the environmental imperative to decarbonize the electricity sector. Utilities themselves are also likely to have a predisposition to inertia, what transition theory terms as path dependency, that is, being locked into a particular pathway that inhibits consideration and adoption of innovative ideas. This is a significant risk across the industry, given that the momentum that new disruptive technologies and big data is gathering. Utilities of the future will be expected to have their own innovative hubs and partnerships, identify new ideas, and leverage the capabilities of other businesses. The evolution of electricity markets also creates significant obstacles for governments and policy.
You know, and there's another thing. You always talk about rolling blackouts and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, brownouts. Oh, we're going to lose the power on the power grid. Let's go and go down. It's doom and gloom, and there's all going to be problems. Look, man, with a smart grid, with the people's power companies, you ain't losing your power, ever. You know, there's more electricity than you can ever use. Matter of fact, like I explained, even with your solar panels, you're not using all that's provided for you. So if you got a way to store that on demand, you can take that charge controller right out of there, and you can take every bit of what those solar panels are actually capable of doing. You can charge up the whole doggone town. That's what I've been trying to say for everybody, and I keep on getting told how ridiculous I am because you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's right. I don't know what I'm talking about, but the free energy deniers know what they're talking about. The trolls know what they're talking about. The environmentalist frauds know what they're talking about. The so-called climate changers and the government and the power company that wants to sell you electricity, they know what they're talking about.
Makers to overcome. For example, while regulatory frameworks allow for cost recovery in future tariff proposals, existing tariff structures can create the perverse incentive that results in customers without solar PV having to pay the most for lost revenues. And since the network charges are fixed, those that are left have to pay the most, causing prices to rise, causing more people to leave, and so on and so forth. Those centralized power stations that we previously mentioned have business cases that are reliant on high utilization rates and were built on the assumption that energy demand will continue to increase, or that innovations such as rooftop solar and battery storage are years away from impacting their market share. It's inherently obvious that this simply isn't the case anymore, and the risk of stranded assets, large write-downs, and accountants having to mark these once assets as liabilities is only increasing. Ultimately, if the outlook for these power stations is not expected to improve through a resurgence in demand or a significant change in cost structures, then these assets will need to be prematurely mothballed. More often than not, this will involve a significant write-down on capital costs, leaving asset holders with a large sunk cost that can never be recovered from the project itself. Whilst this might all sound very pessimistic, there are a lot of lessons and, frankly, a lot of potential lights in the tunnel for incumbent generators. From an industry perspective, the telecommunications sector may provide the best insights into the impact disruptive innovation can have and highlight some of the challenges and opportunities the electricity sector may face. In the 1970s, the telecoms industry was price and franchise regulated, with high barriers to entry provided by the capital intensive nature of the business, as well as the protective government regulations in place. However, as mobile phone technology was developed and became widely adopted, traditional sources of revenue for telecoms firms were significantly impacted, and the entire industry underwent regulatory reform to encourage competition. The electricity industry has largely avoided disruptive threats for over a century due to a large customer monopoly and the value derived from economies of scale, leading to easy access of relatively low-cost capital. Yet, business development plans and medium to long-term strategies must address disruptive threats, and companies themselves must be open to replace their own outdated technology with new products. The argument could be made that utilities, like any mature company buying a startup for growth, for example, could simply own the disruption and then effectively hedge out the risk. Under this approach, market changes would almost be reduced to a capital allocation problem and nothing else. The question is this realistic? Well, traditionally, electricity utilities have increased their revenue earnings by either expanding electricity sales, i.e. consumption volumes, or increasing prices charged per unit sales, i.e. high electricity prices. Whilst these levers have provided constant returns for investors for decades, due to disruptive technological threats, combined with changing consumption patterns, utilities of the future will need to fundamentally transform their business models in order to maintain their revenue sources and to meet the higher required rates of returns for their investors.
So essentially what you're listening to right here is pretty much the fact that in order for them to stay in business, they got to do exactly what we're talking about. They got to figure out a way to keep control of free electricity. They got to figure out a way to shift over while keeping you on the power grid so that you don't get off the power grid. And all these new disruptive technologies, they got to pay people to go out there and discourage people like myself to not talk about these kind of things. To not tell people that energy is free. And so you get all these college-educated goons that come out there and try to tell you why there ain't no such thing as free energy. So, you know, that people like you and I, we're going to stay on the power grid. All right? So all these environmentalists are shooting themselves in the foot. So, you know what? Let me play a little bit more of this right here.
Given that electricity prices are a function of consumption volumes, when electricity sales decline due to demand management programs, innovative energy solutions, disrupted generation, and a whole host of other changes, electricity companies will need to increase their rates charged across the remaining volumes in order to continue to meet the cost of providing their services. What this scenario ultimately leads to, however, is what the media has enticingly called the death spiral, where increased electricity prices simply drive further reductions in consumption by enhancing the proposition of competing technologies and demand management programs. Industry analysts are now less fearful of a large volume of customers leaving the grid. Even with aggressive estimates for electricity storage, given the concentration of solar production relative to peak demand, the technical limitation of batteries, but perhaps most importantly, the advantages that having a distributed network connection brings, for example, you can actually buy and sell your power, it is expected that most customers will maintain at least some form of network connection. The increase in solar PV generation may in fact be of direct benefit to a number of utilities.
Yeah, what he just basically said was, there was a point in time when if you had an off-grid system that the power company would actually pay you for the excess. So basically get to the point where instead of your meter spinning one way, charging you, it would start slowing down and spinning in the opposite way, paying you. So the more power you could, extra power you could put into the grid from your off-grid system, then the more money you end up getting a check from the power company. And they didn't like that because that don't fit into the business model of how to stay in business. If you need money, then it's not very good to be paying everybody to take your product away from you. Please use our electricity because they've got too much. All right, whatever.
Since it will require additional frequency control measures, necessitating therefore substantial investment in smart grids and grid-scale batteries. In effect, therefore, while utilities may lose some revenue from traditional forms of generation, additional earnings from playing an integrated part in the future of smart grids and solar and storage technologies are likely to more than compensate for any losses.
That's right. What he just got.
No sector has been left untouched by the digital revolution.
You know, if these folks think they're going to go completely out of business, if they work the thing right, then they will benefit because, like the solar panels and all that, somebody got to make them, somebody got to sell them, somebody got to maintain them and all that kind of stuff. So it ain't like they could go completely out of business if they shift their business model over. But in the meantime, you got the free energy deniers out there trying to convince everybody why it's not efficient to have solar, wind and all that, and why it's not aesthetically pleasing, it's ugly, and it's terrible for the environment, but at the same time talking out the other side of their neck telling about we got to reduce our carbon footprint and get away from fossil fuels. So, anyway.
But innovation is on the side of the electricity sector, and three game-changing disruptions should provide ample opportunity for existing players. A move towards electrification of transport and heating, the need to support systems full of renewable generation, and intelligent metering coupled with digital network infrastructure developments, or smart grids, will allow better control and management of power. What's exciting is that these three trends act in a virtuous cycle, enabling, amplifying and reinforcing innovative developments beyond what each trend can achieve on its own. Additionally, the political momentum behind decarbonising power generation shows no sign of reversing, and this will force the market's hand sooner rather than later. Amongst all this disruption, new opportunities will present themselves. It's obvious that traditional business models will need to keep evolving beyond the existing framework, and companies that aren't used to change will have to change to survive. Yet, those that do will succeed. For, whilst the source might change, we're not going to lose our love of electricity anytime soon.
That's right. We're not going to lose our love of electricity, and it is free. So, with that said, I'm going to take...
You hear me? Give my creation fly!
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров персональный спутник.
crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Yeah, I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus, too. So basically what we're talking about today is we're actually watching the death spiral of the energy industry. See, right now they're clawing and scratching and fighting and basically trying to make sure that whenever this shift over to alternative clean renewable energies comes into play, which it is, it's coming in. They're already trying to tell people we need you to use more electricity, turn more lights on. So it's a real hoot in my book. You know, this is the laugh out loud section of the show because this cracks me up. You know, the oil companies get subsidies to not produce more oil, to basically keep these companies on standby but still being able to be profitable. Your government will actually give them money in order to subsidize them. So, you know, there's no such thing as free energy is what they keep on saying. You know, the control of free energy is what we're witnessing. They want to make sure that there's a cost to you when it's all said and done so they can stay in business. So these main power companies out there, they're investing in solar and wind, and they also probably get subsidies from the government for reducing carbon footprints and all that kind of stuff, you know, for that extra investment that they make. But the whole underlying deal is that whenever we shift over away from the so-called fossil fuels, that we will be still paying the man. You know, that's what it is. It's business. Business as usual. It's not that you don't have enough power. It's not that if they're sitting there trying to tell people over there in Germany, we'll pay you an extra 50 euros to use more. You know? But then you got the doggone trolls, you got the environmental frauds, and you got the free energy deniers, and the so-called college-educated people come out there and the hassle guys like me talking about there's free energy out there. There ain't no such thing as free energy. That defies all the known laws of physics. That's nothing. Well, you know what, folks? If you understand physics, if you understand the mechanics and basic science and chemistry, then you understand when to use things and when not to use things. So, you know, as far as all these people out there that want to say, well, you know, energy ain't free because you got to pay for the machinery, you know, I just one of the ones that just makes me, every time I hear somebody say that, I look at them like their intelligence level is seriously depleted, you know, because if that's what their mindset is, that, you know, it costs too much to build a alternative energy or set up your solar or anything like that, and that's your excuse to say that energy's not free because the machine costs you money, well, then your intelligence level to me looks seriously depleted. It's like, you know, I wouldn't say all the way down to the stupid level yet. Other than the fact that it is kind of stupid to support the power industries while at the same time protest the power industries, while at the same time support the governments, while at the same time protest the governments. See, you're protesting the wrong doggone people. You're protesting the wrong deal. If you don't want to pay an electric bill, then you want to look into free energy. Electricity is free. I don't care who says any different. If they tell you any different, they didn't pay attention in science class. Plain and simple. So, you know, how do you get all this free electricity? Well, you can move to Germany if you want and find out what days that they're going to pay you to use extra electricity that the solar and wind, you know, on windy days you won't have to pay for it, and then store it while you're using it for free, and then use some of that when until the next windy day. So make your own power banks, have you some inverters on hand, use the power grid long enough while they're paying you to use it, and then store that energy, and then use it whenever it's not windy, and so you're not paying for it then either. So, the People's Power Company, that's what you need. In every single community out there, you get together with your neighbors and you say, look, let's put up a bunch of solar and wind, and we will at the very least supplement our energy cost and do our part at the so-called reduce your carbon footprint debacle. You know, save the planet. So, you know, that's what I'm talking about. This stuff's a real hoot, man. When these people are sitting there trying to tell you that energy ain't free, but yet they're telling you that, well, hurry up and leave some lights on, take an extra shower, you know, turn the TV on, use up some of this power because they're producing more power than they can get rid of, and by the time they shut the doggone the coal fire power plant down so that the solar and the wind can take up from that point, they've already put more power in the grid than you can use. Your solar panels that you got are capable of producing so much more power than you can possibly imagine. That's why they have a charge controller on them. A charge controller is set there to ensure that your solar panels don't overcharge your batteries and fry them out. So instead of having a charge controller on there, you pump that extra energy over to your neighbors. You're both using it. So there's two for one. Because your solar panels are capable of producing way more than you'll ever use, way more than you can ever store. And then on top of that, you know, if you actually look into thermoelectrics, you can get a 2-for-1 with your solar panels, be using thermoelectrics at the same time while you're using the solar portion of it. And when it's windy outside, you got that as well. So if it's windy and sunny outside, you got an electrical assist drive, a motor generator that is actually assisting your wind turbine using that extra electricity that your charge controller had to shut the panels off because it couldn't handle it. Couldn't keep your batteries from overcharging, so it had to shut the power off. That's what a charge controller does. It shuts the panels off so that you don't blow your batteries up. Raymond, you got the hiccups?
Yeah, I got them. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So what do you think about what I'm saying here, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it?
Wait a minute. I've got to turn the volume up. What did you ask?
I said, what do you think?
I said, what do you think?
That's it.
What I think?
I'm echoing.
Yeah, you are.
Might want to put your headset on.
Yeah, give me a minute.
So anyway, the whole thing is, folks, the dirty little secret of electricity is it is free. And those folks out there that run around trying to tell you that energy ain't free and you don't know what you're talking about, and they want to try to argue all the different laws of physics and thermodynamics and tell you why something's not possible. If you understand how energy travels and you understand that energy can be stored, it can be changed, and so there is no losses in the system unless that you decide you don't want to use that extra energy, then it just goes out into the atmosphere. Then it becomes a loss. So whether it be through friction or whatever, if you're looking for a perpetual motion machine, they've already put the thermodynamics in the way so that you would be discouraged from that. But nonetheless, don't be looking for perpetual motion, or even over unity for that matter. Don't be looking for 0 point. You don't need it. This energy is free. All you got to do is know how to use it efficiently, and that's what we've been trying to share with you on the Mad Science Show for as long as I can possibly remember, that we've been trying to show you all different types of technologies that could be in place, technologies that could supplement one another. You got a solar panel, you got a wind turbine, You got some thermal electrics going on. You might even have a gas or a diesel generator. You might even not even take that gas and diesel generator and don't run it on gas or diesel. Run it on chicken grease or, you know, waste oil or even hydrogen technology. Folks, if you can't find free energy, you're simply not paying attention and you're simply not looking hard enough. It's as simple as that. Start the doggone power companies. Start the doggone power companies in your own communities. The people's power company. May I ask a question in there? Wonder how many Germans are doing that just amazing. That they dirty little secret. Thanks for telling us this. Anytime, mate. Look, I tell you, there's a reason why mad science exists. Because when the mainstream science is pretty much sold or sold to the system or the devil or whatever you want to think about, when the mainstream science ain't getting the job done and people are still saying we got problems in the world, we got global warming, we got climate change, we got climate disruption, or whatever's going to be next week when the math don't add up, or we got to save the planet, we got to save the trees, we got to save this, we got to save everything. Well, how about we save some money and the planet by starting working like we're working with some common sense? And May said, "I got clothes drying on the line in the house, saving energy. It's insane." Yeah, see, she is using free energy. May's using free energy. All right, that's it. The clothes are getting dried for free through a process called evaporation, using the sun and the wind and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, and that, and your clothes usually smell better whenever they come off the line. Something about nature drying out your clothes. They seem to smell better. They're air fresh. Unless you're living in Chicago or New York, they're probably like soot fresh.
I got my headset on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, you don't hear any other background noise, do you?
Yeah.
All right, sorry about that.
So,
I've come up with an idea, Shaziz. I don't know if you want to discuss it in depth, but I think it'd be better just to bring up a little part of what I want to do and then really discuss it hard tomorrow, because tomorrow will be a better show.
Yeah.
And, you know, we keep talking about free energy. It is free. It's just that you need something to change that free energy into usable energy, blah, blah, blah. And the thing is, we have unreal number of free labor, but she can't be free. I mean, these people got to eat, you know. So, but we have tons of abandoned towns throughout the United States for one reason or another. They're ghost towns, but some of them have only been ghost towns for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and most of the buildings are still in great shape. And we have all these homeless people. Now, wait a minute. Let me go into a little bit more detail. The counties that these towns are in aren't getting a dime. The county is not into real estate. They're into charging taxes on real estate. So the county will actually give you the town if you can make it, build it up. Well, why not get this, take one of these towns, and invite some homeless people that have skills to build it up, get donations from building supplies such as Home Depot, Lowe's, and others, Ace Hardware. They have tons and tons of lumber that's culled because it's twisted or warped, but yet it can, with an ingenious person that knows how to do things, can take this lumber and build and repair these buildings and live in them, start shops. If the city, the county would give you the town tax-free for the first 5 years so you could build it up, which they would, I guarantee you there's some of them that would, because you're going to build it up, and at the end of 5 years, they're going to get a heck of a tax deal out of it. But everybody would have to volunteer, including, and most especially, all municipal people, such as the city fathers, the city council, judges, lawyers, that kind of thing, would be volunteer retirees that are on Social Security that don't need money,
but they want to help people. Well, this would help get homeless people homes and jobs. And the jobs, I'm going a little bit further than I want to do because I want other stuff to discuss tomorrow. And one thing is start doing something that would make the city money. You know what I'm saying? So it could feed these people.
Yeah, well, the reason why those doggone towns were empty to begin with is because the businesses moved away. That's because all them job-killing regulations. But nonetheless, tomorrow would be a great time to do that, but there is a good opportunity if people want to do that, because you could actually make this entire town an example of how to get clean, renewable, alternative energies to work from start to finish. You don't even have to call the power company up and say, turn the power on down here. No, just have them disconnect the main power line from the deal and run your own lines and start your own system, just to show that it's possible for a town to be completely off the grid, self-maintained, self-reliant, be able to use hydroponics, aquaponics, all these different gardening
techniques.
Exactly.
Now you're talking.
And be able to feed these people at the same time by keeping them comfortable with the stuff that they needed. And as far as the bent 2x4s and wood like that, we have the science and the physics to straighten a 2x4 out. See, people don't realize why in the heck a doggone 2x4 even bends to begin with. It gets warped because it gets wet.
That's what we need people to volunteer their knowledge. Come there and I mean, like, there's a lot of people out there that's got RVs, you know, trailers, motorhomes, whatever, and they like to take a vacation to do something. Well, what better place than to go to a town and volunteer your expertise, your skill, and help get this thing up and running so that we can get people in this town? I mean, it's amazing that there's so much to do to even get started. I don't even know how, but there are people out there that know how, and we just need them to volunteer their expertise or donate whatever they want. I mean, we don't really need money as much as we do material and knowledge. We need somebody with legal experience that when somebody donates something, they can, like, for example, let's just say Home Depot and Lowe's right down the street from me, they've got a bunch of coal lumber. Well, they actually sell this coal lumber off for like 5 cents on the dollar. Where if they donated it, we can give them a receipt for full value.
Well, yeah, and if you took and used some physics, you could make a steam press that would basically steam this wood, press it, and then you set this press with basically setting in a clamp off for 24, 48 hours, let the thing dry out naturally. That doggone 2x4 just be just as straight as the first day it was made, you know, about a day or so later. So if you actually use science, you could recapture all this wood, go out and buy it pennies on a dollar like you just explained from all the different deals. They still get a little bit for it. You still get you get a better price out of it, or you just have to do a little work straightening it out. Ain't no big deal.
Right. Here's the thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm thinking that the first thing I need is a volunteer paralegal or lawyer that would help me start a non-profit organization. And when I say non-profit, I mean the books would be wide open. I would be president of the corporation, and I would sign a deal that I get absolutely no payment whatsoever for my time. None.
Well, that's the kind of mindset that if you had more people interested in doing stuff like that, you'd get things accomplished, you know?
If there's anybody out there listening that is interested, that knows anything about tax laws and donations and that kind of thing, that could help me get, or even how to start a corporation that is a non-profit, and I mean genuinely, keep it non-profit. If anybody's out there that has that knowledge that could help and wants to, please contact me through Shaziz Radio.
Yep. And
okay, then tomorrow let's go into more depth, okay?
All right. So anyway, basically, I'm trying to have a little bit of fun here today too, because this warms my heart. You know, the doggone energy.
Well, wait a minute. Let me say one more thing. All right, to start things off, I have over 100 solar panels that I will donate. to this cause. I have several welding machines, plasma torches, and other stuff, brand spanking new, still in the box. I'm willing to donate to help get this thing started. I have other tools, things that I don't need that are just laying around here. I will donate them free of charge to this cause. Well, to help get home for homeless people a job, build a whole new town. And what I'd like to do, I'm not sure about the name. I've tried several names like New Eden, name of the corporation New Eden, and then the towns. One town would be called New Beginning, another one New Start, another one Fresh Start, Do Over, names like that, you know. And then people that are homeless that have a skill would get to live there free of charge, but they work. Well, and in their work, they would get paid by a card. The card would be to go to the grocery store to buy their groceries, and the groceries would be donated by corporations that normally donate to other corporations. That, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just need the people to help organize this thing and get it going, get it started.
Well, like I've been trying to say forever and a day, companies out there waste so much. And if you, just in the plastic section alone, if you recycled and refined just the wasted plastic, and even in the average Joe's household, it's funny because I saw on this doggone water bottle the other day where it says about 5 or 10 cent deposit. So they have these plastic water bottles where they're talking about if you send them back to the company, you can get a 5 or 10 cent deposit out of a plastic bottle. I saw it. It's
right
on there. And so, you know, there's a reason why to recycle, but nonetheless, the types of plastic that you use for the lids, I've been collecting up them lids because there's all kinds of uses for it. But either way,
right,
with all the stuff that's been wasted out there, you know, that could be more resources than, you know, a doggone town needs. But if you had a town like that and you decided you wanted to show how it could be environmentally friendly and self-contained, and all you're doing is basically taking away other people's trash. You know, Grandpa used to say one man's trash is another man's treasure, so if you can take it and use it for a good purpose like what we're talking about, well, there you go. But, you know, back on the whole environmental free energy kind of deal, you know, I put the dirty little secret of electricity is it is free. We're surrounded in it. And, you know, if you understand that energy can be changed, it can be manipulated, it can be guided, it can be stored, and just the basic physics and the basic science, you're not defying any of the known laws of physics, but that ain't what they want you to think about. They don't want you to think about the possibility of actually having free electricity. They don't want you, because that's how they make money. That's how they make taxes. That's how they keep control of the situation. But you heard on the podcast the guy sitting there talking about how they would actually bribe people 50 euros to use extra kilowatts of electricity. And companies basically weren't taking them up on the offer. The average Joe may or may not have taken them up on the offer. You know, turn on some extra, because they're making more power than they can use. And even when they transfer from using the solar and they fire up the coal power generators or whatever, by the time they get them all fired up, they've already got more power than they already need. So the power grid can only withstand so much power. So you got to get rid of it. That means somebody's got to use it. Please use all right, the
look,
free
wait
electricity.
A minute. If you start your own town, then you make your own laws and rules.
Yeah.
So therefore, you'd have a law to where nobody could say no on wind turbines. Nobody could say no to solar energy. Nobody could say no to water power energy. I mean, we're looking for anything to where nobody pays an electric bill.
Well, that's the thing. The hypocrisy of towns like over in Michigan, where they threw the guy in jail for having a wind turbine up on his property. They made him take it down. He finally took it down, but then they complained about the concrete pad that he had on his own property. It wasn't good enough for him just to take the deal down. He had to break up the doggone concrete pad as well. And so since he refused to do it, they throwed him in jail. So that's the whole thing.
Yeah. Right.
On one hand, your doggone homeowners association sitting there telling you you got to reduce your carbon footprint like they're these environmentalists. That's why I call them crazy stuff like environmentalist frauds. All right, because they are frauds. I ain't met an environmentalist group yet who has done any good for anybody. Outside of the fact of maybe getting some land blocked off by the government where you can no longer go there because you got to save the turtles or a special type of bird or a bug or a slug or whatever. That's all they do. They end up basically sticking it to themselves by making sure that they force every bit of what their wants is on you. So you go to the government, you use the government against the people, and the government takes all this land, calls it a reserve, blocks it down, nobody can use it anymore. You can go visit, maybe, and maybe you can't. Maybe you can't even step foot on the land, or you might go to jail. But the oil companies are getting subsidies from the doggone government so that they don't produce too much oil, so that they can still remain profitable. The government will subsidize them for not making enough more too much oil because they got to keep the market at a certain rate. That's why they call it the petrodollar. But this doggone negative power rates that they're talking about here, where essentially on the market the electricity becomes worth less than zero, and now they're paying you to use it, and there ain't no such thing as free energy? Folks, it ain't that there ain't no free energy. It's that whenever they shift over to these clean, renewable, alternative sources, they want to still get paid. That's it. They want to stay in business. So they're going to invest in wind. They're going to invest in solar while trying to figure out every single possible way to keep you on the grid so that you don't go off the grid with these same technologies, and they can still charge you for what they're getting for free. Every solar panel you got produces more electricity than your charge controller can even use. That's why I kept telling everybody, you don't need a giant solar array in order to produce power. Those things are producing more energy than that charge controller or your battery bank can actually handle. The only reason why things even get hot is when you demand too much from them. When you're trying to push too much current through wire, it's going to get hot. The transistors, they're going to get hot. But if you learn how to use them properly, if you learn how to take that heat away from the system and reuse that heat, it's no longer a loss anymore, and your things will last longer. These are the things that they do not want you to know. They want to sell you new charge controllers. They want to sell you new solar panels. They want to sell you new of everything. And then, you know, on top of all that, all this energy that you're getting for free, the hypocrisy of telling you that you need to reduce your carbon footprint and be self-contained in your energy independent, the moment you try it, that's when they come around and try to fine you for doing so. So the only way that you're ever going to get out from underneath the thumb of the government, the corporations, the power industry, is when you, the people, decide that you want free energy. When you decide you want it, you'll go out and put the investments in as a community, buy up an old town like Raymond said, or go in there and repair the town that you got. There are materials galore that get thrown in the trash that if you knew what the capabilities of and recycling capabilities, even at the scrapyard, instead of throwing your doggone refrigerators and your old appliances out, find out what's inside that appliance that you could use to benefit your your system. You'd be surprised at what you can get for free. And that's just in junk. If you understood that kind of stuff, you wouldn't be throwing away things that you throw away. You'd be having a community storage and a community inventor club where the people of your brilliant minds, your mad scientists in their garage can come over there and they can work in this facility. You got an abandoned building in every single town that nobody's using. They're not making no money off of it. Nobody's paying taxes on it. It's just sitting there taking up space. So why not, as a community, decide that you're going to use this to benefit your town? So the resources are available in your communities. The energy to run these communities are, nature gives it to you. All right? And if guys like Raymond have extra supplies like solar panels, you throw these solar panels on top of that building and you don't even have to pay for electricity while your mad scientist in every single community gets to go in there and take all these things that you wanted to throw in the trash anyway and turn them into use for products that will profit the town and the people. You see what I'm trying to say here? I'm giving you the answer, the way out. The way out from underneath the doggone thumb of the power companies. The way out from underneath the doggone thumb of the governments. The people have the power if they choose to use it. It's as simple as that. Scotty Sullivan said if homeless folks go to local store with payment on a card to buy food, etc., is this not akin to the new world order idea of cashless society? Oh yeah. Well, if you instead of give these people cards to go buy food, if you teach them and give them the materials necessary, aquaponics, hydroponics, gardening, and all that, and you got access to this free town, you don't even have to send them to the store. They make their own stores. They have their own air conditioning units, their own refrigeration. They got everything they need. This place is self-contained. And the people who believe in the idea from the outside will support them to see how far that they can excel. How far can we actually put this? If we can do this in this abandoned town, we can do this in our town. And when it gets down to the point where this with nearly $0 input on this outside, you know, for an investment, you're instead taking whatever you would have normally wasted, you know, and helping them out. I got a solar panel array on my property, which is adjoining to this property. I got more power than I actually can use, so I'm going to ship my excess power over to this little town and let them use it. So now we got two towns connected to each other. So our people's grid just grew. And when, you know, it's windy over on my side of town, but it's not windy on yours, but it's sunny on your side of town, we can share that energy. We can use existing infrastructures to pump fresh water back and forth to each other. So if your aquifer is running a little low and you need a little bit of water and we're doing fine over here, we'll send some over to you, vice versa. It's not that you don't have it. It's that you got to get cooperation amongst everybody. If you could get this entire world to drop the ridiculousness and the greed, wouldn't be no homeless. Wouldn't be no sick people. Wouldn't be no people starving to death, because everything would be resources that were used in such a credible efficiency that you wouldn't have these problems. And the materials that would have otherwise got wasted because they're warped, because nobody bought them in time and they got wet and they kind of buckled up, those can be repurposed and they can be reused. You could build homeless shelters and stuff. The homelessness and starvation would become a word of the past. People, if they ever heard it in passing, you know, I remember back in the day, oh, 2018, there were actually people that didn't have a place to live. Remember those? No, I don't know about that, but wow, that sounds terrible. All I'm trying to say is that, you know, if you can't find free energy, you're not looking for it. If there's people in the world starving to death, it's because people choose to allow it to happen. We got more resources than we can ever use. All right, this world is an amazing self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. It's a thermoelectric generator, a static electricity generator, a hydroelectricity generator, a wind power generator. There's always something going. Nature is extremely powerful. And if you want to go along for the ride, well, then you jump in the boat and you get work done. If you want to go against nature, then you got to take out your oar and you got to paddle. All right? Fire up your boat motor. Because anytime you go against what nature's already done and you don't understand any of the physics of how to do things differently, see, you know, if you got a sailboat and the wind's coming out of the south, but the doggone river's driving to the north, so I jump on, I ride down the river for free, and when I want to get back home, I just put my sail up and I float upstream with my wind power. Common sense. I don't know how better to explain it. You got everything you need. Now, how we'd rally the troops? That's the biggest thing. Raymond's looking for some folks to help him with a project to show people what you can do with abandoned ghost towns. I'm trying to inspire people to actually gather in their communities and figure out ways to make your community at the very least super efficient so that everybody benefits. If you understand how to use energy in a different manner, you're not wasting it. There's no such thing as waste energy in the perfect world. And that's the whole thing. That's the reason why they say you can't get perpetual motion. That's why they say in the laws of thermodynamics, it's impossible to get a motor generator to run itself. But if you understood every single bit of what's going on, if you paid attention to the mechanics of how electricity is traveling, and how magnetic fields fluctuate, the cause and the effect, why is it that we get eddy currents? Why is it that things get hot? Anytime you use energy, why does it create heat? And wait a second, we got to get rid of that heat, or do we? Can't we just use that heat as another power source? And so instead of this being a waste, now it's a plus? Instead of us throwing our stuff in the landfill, why don't we recycle all this stuff, or you find it back into usable products again, so you ain't digging up more? And the environmentalists out there, If you want to save the environment, then stop coming out here giving people like me a rash and telling me why it is we can't do certain things. If you don't like the doggone wind turbines out there and the solar panels, then come up with a whole different solution of how you can tap into what nature's already provided in a manner that's going to be beautiful to you. You know, there are cell phone towers all over this doggone planet that are disguised like trees because people complain, oh, that looks terrible, but it looks like a palm tree. Now you can't even tell it's even a doggone radio tower. So why couldn't you do the same kind of thing? Hide all your solar panels in the bottom of the swimming pool, swim around, produce energy at the same time. Keep the solar panel super efficient. You don't see it out of sight, out of mind, but you're still getting free electricity to the solar panel in the bottom of that doggone deal, or the solar water heater in the bottom of that deal is using the refraction of the sunlight coming through the water down to the deal and heating your water up so you're not freezing your booty off while you're trying to swim in the pool. Because I can tell you one thing, even during the summertime, the swimming pool's cold.
I know how to get free solar panels. Absolutely free. It just costs, the only cost to get the solar panels is to go get them.
Well, there you go.
And I can use that knowledge to help build this town of new beginnings.
There you go. There's a solution for every problem under the sun. That's what we keep shouting out here.
The whole point I'm trying to make is get the homeless people homes.
Yeah, why not?
A job. There's a lot of homeless people are homeless because they don't want to be. They do want to be. But there's a lot of them out there that would do anything to get a new beginning in life and start life fresh. And they have skills that we can use. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what we could do is if we could get a town that was possible, get some engineer to check it out and see, is it possible to pull this town back up and make it livable? And then we get some horticulturalists to check it out, the area that it's in, the weather conditions, the soil type, what kind of plant could be used there and grow sufficiently and in abundance enough to actually sell and make a profit for the town, blah, blah, blah. I mean, and most people, you know, there's people out there that are actually drawing Social Security that can't even make it. They can't even pay their payments on their stuff. So they can come here and live free. Volunteer only. to donate a portion of their Social Security. If they don't want to, that's fine. But it's volunteer. Everything is volunteer. You take somebody who's drawing $1,500 a month, Social Security, they can't pay $1,000 a month for rent and then feed themselves, but they can come there and live for free and donate $500 of their Social Security check toward the town. You know? I mean, duh.
Well, there are places.
If they didn't have to pay rent, electricity, or anything else, they could live. They could survive on $1,000 a month.
Why not donate
the money to the town?
Yep, there are places in this world that are begging people to send them their trash. Because
right.
They figured out how to turn this trash into energy and useful products. So, what I'm trying to tell everybody out there, you know, if you think that you're ever going to run out of anything, it's because you're not willing to pay attention to what's been showed to you. It's physically right. Impossible to run out of water. It can't happen, all right? Unless something comes and takes all this water off the planet, it ain't going to happen. And the argument against, you know, running out of water, well, that's drinkable water, you fool. Well, then go tell those folks over there in Dubai who built huge desalination plants, and they not only sell the world's sea salt, but they also have fresh water to drink for all their populations. They're living in huge skyscrapers built on land that they dredged up out of the ocean, and they built the land that their skyscrapers are standing on. And so they use technology, physics, and science and brilliance to produce a beautiful place. And, you know, there's not too many poor people that live in Dubai. All right, go check it out. Seriously, go watch a documentary on what these folks have been up to. So, you're not going to be able to use that argument anymore that's fresh water that they're going to run out of, fool. When companies are actually switching from fossil fuels, oil, to buying up water because they call water the next blue gold because people think it's being polluted so fast or drank so fast that it's not going to be able to be renewed, and so it's going to be a quantity. Well, look, you can sell a bottle of water for a dollar, all right? Just a little bottle of water for a dollar, all right? You could have got it yourself, cleaned it up, filtered it out naturally,
right.
Had that same water for free. If you're willing to do the work, you working alongside nature, learn what nature's been teaching you all along, that you work in harmony with nature. Nature will reward you abundantly. You know, it's crazy that I saw these tomatoes, right? People go out and buy those tomato plants every year, you know, and they'll start off a fresh tomato plant. Do you know that if you work it right, even a rotted tomato will grow a new vine? And off of that new vine will grow
tomatoes? Yep.
So, nature's already made something so incredibly abundant that if you just threw your tomato seeds over there in the grass, next season you come out there, this doggone thing's growing tomatoes over there. I didn't plant no tomatoes over there. Watermelons. One day I went out to the trash pile out back and I saw this doggone watermelon vine. There's watermelons growing in the trash pile because somebody threw a whole watermelon out there and the seeds rooted and grew watermelons out of the trash pile. So nature's already provided an overabundance of food. And if you take potatoes, it's crazy. If you look and watch how these people grow potatoes in buckets and 50-gallon drums and stuff like that, one potato ends up growing a whole bunch of potatoes. It's crazy. Now, how come anybody's even...
You know,
shortage of potatoes?
In Spain, they built a tower years ago. A big tower, like a smokestack tower, but really, really tall. And they got it all super black to where it would get real hot and the air would heat up.
Yep.
And, of course, as the air would heat up, it would rise. They put a fan in it, okay? And the fan would turn to make electricity. So then somebody come up with the bright idea of putting a plastic deal. They covered like 40 acres around this tower. Well, okay, so you got even more hot air going up to it. Well, they said, well, look, it's protected and everything from the rain, so they put in a sprinkler system, and then they built the plastic up high enough that the man on a tractor could ride comfortably through there, and they farmed the land.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, they found out within a very short time that they wasted all that money on the sprinkler system, because during the day the sun would heat the air up, heat the ground, the moisture in the ground from the irrigation would rise, condense on the plastic, and fall back down to the ground. So they just turned the sprinkler system off, and they didn't need to water the gardens anymore.
That's right. If you understand,
I mean, they got water every day.
If you understand about condensation and the temperature differences, you can get water for free right out of the doggone air. And here's another thing, too. Greenhouses will pump CO2 up inside their greenhouses to get their plants to grow real good when nobody's there. They obviously don't want to do it while somebody's there because of the physics of how oxygen is displaced by CO2. But did you know that if you got mosquitoes in your neighborhood, you can use CO2, a little trick, by taking a piece of bread and some sugar and some water, and you can put this piece of bread and sugar into a 2-liter container, and when the bread rots, it releases CO2, and that's how the mosquitoes actually track you down. When they see the CO2, they come and they suck your blood or whatever. Well, this attracts the mosquitoes too. The doggone deal, and they get trapped in there and get stuck and basically croak. Well, either way, that same CO2, if you had a greenhouse system that you wanted to put your compost style waste in there, put a little bit of fruit or sugar down inside that thing, it will release CO2, and then you can actually use valves to guide it up into your greenhouse and use your rotting trash to not only keep your greenhouse warm in the winter, but use your rotting trash to feed your doggone plants while it's rotten. So nature's already provided the warmth for your plant. It's provided the food for your plant. It's provided you with every single thing that you need to grow an overabundance of food. If you're starving to death, it's because you didn't pay attention. And the folks out there that don't know and that are starving to death because they never were able to go to school, you know, you could go over and help those folks by educating them on how to do these things. How to take trash and turn it into treasure. Every bit of resources available out here can be recycled over and over and over and over and over again. Even when you're burning firewood, you're making new products. It's their own physics has told you the secret. Energy can neither be created nor destroyed. So where does it go? Everything. Every single thing gets recycled into the system. No matter what it is that man made, nature will break it down into its specific elements, turn it into another bit of material that nature uses to build things to begin with. So you're not going to run out of trees.
You know, mirrors can be used. Mirrors can be used to heat things up and make them hotter than they are.
Yep.
And I have over 250 mirrors, some large, some small, that I've saved over the years. They're also donated to New Eden.
Well, I
have over 155 gallon drums that can be used to make wind turbines, Savonius type turbines, other types of turbines. I'm donating those.
Well,
I'm donating everything I don't need that can be used to make energy or to be used to build the things to make energy. Everything I've got that I don't need, I'm donating all of it to New Eden.
Well, there you go. I'm trying to give the world free energy. I'm trying to show them that they already had it all along. All right, so I started off this show today by talking about the dirty little secret of electricity. The dirty little secret of electricity is free. Period. I don't care what it costs you to make your generator. I don't care. Because all the fuels necessary to run that generator are free. Every bit of it. It just depends on which one you want to use. The oil companies own the oil fields, so they sell you the oil. But guess what? Because they own it, they get it for free. They have to put a little bit of investment to drag it out of the ground. That's their justification of why they're going to sell it to you. That river that they dammed up and had the hydroelectrics on there, that water's rolling down there for free. Nature's put it down there. And all they're doing is tapping into what nature's done, and they're charging you for the electricity because they have to pay maintenance guys. They have to pay this or whatever. That's their justification for selling it to you, even though they got it for free. And in the solar power industry, the same exact thing. They got to make the solar panels. So, you know, they're going to charge you for the solar panels. But the sunlight is free. It's coming into your solar panel that you bought. So you got to buy some equipment. You got to put an initial investment in it. But if you as a community, if you got 1,000 people in your community, you got $1,000 to work with. Raymond's sitting here talking about how he can get you the solar panels for free. And so all you got to do is go out and buy $1,000 worth of lumber, volunteer some labor, stack these things up and build you some racks on them, start collecting free solar energy and pumping it into your own battery banks. Charge all your car batteries.
The beautiful thing about it is you don't have to spend that $1,000 to get the lumber. You spend $1,000 to transport the lumber that you can get for free. I know how to do that.
Well, then take the extra money you got left over and buy something nice for each person in the community, or pay them a wage for helping you out. So there you go.
You pay them in script, and the script can go to the store to buy clothes. They can go to the store to buy food.
Well, there you go, man. See, for every problem that's under the sun, there is a solution. Now, I'm tired of all the wars over energy. I'm tired of all these people. You know, if you took this situation that was going on over there in the Middle East about everybody fighting over pipelines and oil and back during the so-called Arab oil embargo and all that craziness back then, if you took and put free energy on the market, what are they going to do with their oil? Alright, now they got to figure out, oh wow, we got all this oil, nobody's buying gasoline anymore. They're still going to be able to sell their oil. You still need plastic. You still need rubber. You still need petroleum products. They're still going to make money off their oil. Alright, so the people that are buying the oil want to make it so that you think you're going to run out of oil, so that you will pay higher prices at the gas pump, and you will continue to buy from them. That's it. It's a scam. The dirty little secret of electricity is it's a scam. Just like global warming, climate change, climate disruption, the planet's doomed, we're all going to die. Oh, it drives me freaking bonkers. That's why the Mad Science Show exists. I'm sitting here, I'm telling you, you can take your turn, your trash into treasure. You can take other people's trash off their hands. They don't have to pay a trash man to haul it off anymore. So they save money, which makes their business more profitable. So if you're interested in taking their trash for any purpose, no matter what it is, you say, look, hey, I'll take that. You know, you don't have to pay to get rid of it. I'll come get it. Then you do that. And you take and reuse that. You'll find that your business is more profitable, so they can pay their employees more or reinvest into the community, and you got a free resource that you can use. I know a guy that runs around and gets all the cruddy old oil from all the different shops, and that's what he uses. It makes different types of biodiesels with it and mixes with diesel fuels and runs generators off of it. And uses it for multiple different deals. And you can actually recycle all this oil back into fresh oil that you can actually use in your machine. Once you understand why that oil's black to begin with, some of the reason why the oil's black is because it got too hot. It cooked it. So it's like cooking it too much. You can clean that out too. But as far as any of the carbon built up in there, there's another resource. You can clean that doggone oil out, and then you can take the filters that you used to clean that oil out, and you can turn that into another fuel source to produce yet even more energy. So ain't nothing getting wasted. And even the soot coming out of your doggone chimney from your wood-burning stove. You got ash that can be made into lye soap, all kinds of different products. You can even put on your garden. You got another fuel source for the creosote and the wood particles that build up, the carbon that builds up inside your doggone chimney. Scrape that down every once in a while, and you got another fuel source. and all the heat, the way that that doggone
Do you have any idea?
Huh?
If 1,000 people lived in a small town and the city sewage took the sewage and made methane gas, you could run every city vehicle off of methane gas produced from the sewage, and what's left is liquid fertilizer.
Yep.
Now, according to the government health regulations, you cannot use human waste at any time on food product for human beings. However, you can use it to fertilize pasture land to raise cattle, goats, and sheep on.
Well, you can run your septic pond, the runoff from your septic pond, and both of these septic ponds, once they get, if you go out and look at any septic pond out there, it's green. Why is it green? Because there's so much nutrients in that doggone septic pond that not only the weeds are growing around like wildfire, but the doggone duckweed and the watermill that's in there is growing like wildfire. That duckweed and watermill filters out that water, and if it can't filter it out fast enough, then the next pond over will be green as well. But if you got a pond...
And that green duckweed can be squeezed to get vegetable oil out, that it is 40 to 45% by dry weight of vegetable oil, which will also run diesel engines clean.
Yeah.
And the exhaust from vegetable oil on a diesel engine is super clean.
And it makes clean fertilizer as well. Fish food, fertilizer, yep. Biodiesel.
All your tractors to grow human food would run on vegetable oil, and all of your human waste byproduct from making methane gas to run the city vehicles could be used to fertilize pasture land for the animals that you're going to eat.
Yep.
Or the animals that you're going to grow wool on. I mean, there's so many things that can be done to where a town could be self-sufficient. You would need no taxes for the people.
That's right. And you can get that doggone town to be profitable as well, because every bit of trash that somebody else is throwing away becomes a new product if you understand the science and the physics.
The main thing that would cause the town to be profitable is that all the government officials would be volunteer.
Yep. And
volunteers. You're not paying any of the city council. You're paying the garbage pickup man, whatever, the guy taking care of the sewage treatment plant. They're all being paid in script that can be used to buy food and other things, anything they wanted in town. In that town. In other words, it would be Eden money. And it would be script. You would get like a credit card, and you go in for your paycheck. You would hand them the card. The money would be loaded onto your card. You could use it that way. Yeah. I mean, it's possible. And with the right people that are not after money, they just want to help get homeless people off the streets and give them a decent start in life.
Yep.
These people is what we need to start this thing with.
Well, Stephen Gibbons put a link into the Shaziz Mad Science chat room. It said grantspace.org, resources, knowledge base, starting a nonprofit. So he passed you the link and the information for that.
Fantastic. Thank you, Steve. Steve is a gentleman and a scholar. Yeah. There's daggone few of us left.
So anyway, you know, the dirty little secret of electricity, that's what that is. It's a dirty little secret. The doggone energy industry out there is in a death spiral, and whether they want to admit it or not, they're worried. They're concerned, because all this knowledge about alternative energy is making mainstream, and there are people who are actually getting off the power grid using these technologies, and so they got to fight against it. So that's where the free energy deniers come in. You pay some people, they'll go out there and do it. But then there are non-paid people who are just think they are so educated that they know more than the average Joe, and they like to make themselves seem intelligent, so they go out there and call guys like me all kinds of rude names and tell me why it is I don't know what I'm talking about. The laws of physics, the laws of thermodynamics aren't set there to be roadblocks. If you understand the laws of physics and all these different deals, you'll understand that you can use these laws of physics to your advantage. And if you understand the basic science and the basic chemistry of every bit of resources out there, you'll find out that nothing you use gets wasted. Even when you eat food, the way the human body works, nothing, you just created more energy. That's all you did. You created more product. And if you know how to guide it in the right direction, you can not only keep the place clean, smelling good, but you can utilize what nature's process of breaking this stuff back down and putting it back into the materials that nature uses to begin with to make all these things that you're using. And if you're worried about the trees, go out and plant a tree. Or stop mowing your lawn for a month or two or 3 years or 5 or 10 centuries. And you watch and see what happens. Nature recycles everything. And these folks out there that keep telling you that they're going to run out of oil, they're flat out lying to you. There ain't no scarcity. Otherwise, there wouldn't be no subsidies for the oil companies to, when they're shut down, still remain profitable. They're still making money even when they're not making oil. Plain and simple, when they're not refining it, they're still making money. They're still profitable. They're still viable. They're still in business. Because you are paying the government taxes. You are paying for their subsidies. You're paying to keep those folks in business. Now, when is everyone going to start paying to keep the people in business? People's Power Company is what you need to start forming in every single doggone community. And there are guys like myself and Raymond and others out there, Thomas and all these people that have been talking about alternative energies and alternative uses for certain materials, that we would be more than happy to be in an advisory role, even do seminars and radio shows telling you where all these things are, because we've already researched it. So when you find a problem that you don't know how to fix it, you turn an old 50-gallon drum into a redneck wind turbine. All right, and then somebody comes along and cusses you out and tells you you did it wrong, or don't work, or it's trash, or you're stupid. You take an old hot tub and you heat it up with a coffee pot, showing somebody that you can take energy and you can use this energy. It might take me 4 hours to get it up to operating temperature, but at that point, all I got to do is keep trickling a little small amount of energy in there to maintain it. And so it will get so hot that even though it's not insulated under the tub, and it's open to the atmosphere, and it has all the places for the energy to escape, that one little element is enough to get that water so incredibly hot in the dead of winter when there's snow and ice out, and it's too cold to be in a pool, it'll get it so hot you can't sit in that pool. So the reason why I did my redneck hot tub video was to show everybody out there, not some crazy redneck hot tub, but how to take something that was said to be impossible and make it super efficient. There's no insulation open underneath there. It's open to the air, so cold air can get under it, cold air can get over it, the heat radiates out. The water's hot, it's too hot for you to sit in, so you have to turn the doggone switch off and shut the element down and let it cool down to a comfort level where you can get back in the thing and then turn it back on to maintain it. When it gets too hot again, you shut her off again. So you have a super incredible efficient hot tub that only took enough energy from the equivalence of a coffee pot. So I put that video out so that people who understood what it was that I was trying to show them would know that they could reach super efficiency. But you know, I caught so much heck for that doggone thing. It's one of my most viewed videos. But I was called everything under the sun. Every bad name you could possibly imagine, I've been called via my YouTube channel and then some. I deleted so many nasty comments from people out there that didn't understand. Oh, well, you know, this is stupid, you know, whatever. They didn't understand what I was trying to show them. But if you could step outside the box and look at the big picture, you understood that I just showed you how you could take your hot water heater in your house that draws a whole lot of amperage and you can get it up to operating temperature with the big element. When it gets up to operating temperature, the big element shuts off. The only time it'll ever shut back on or turn back on is when it drops down below a certain temperature. In the meantime, as long as it's at a certain temperature, the only element that will ever keep that will ever turn on will be the maintainer element, which is your coffee pot element, that will keep that water up to perfect temperature for you to take a shower and use less energy and never kick on that main element. The same thing applies with every single other heat source you've got out there. If you understand what I showed you with the redneck hot tub, you understand how to make your house so incredibly efficient. That the only time the big element ever kicks on the main resistive load is when it gets so incredibly cold out there that the little tiny one can't keep up any longer. But then it only has to kick on long enough to bring the temperature up. And then once it gets up to its operating temperature, the next one in line is the maintainer. The maintainer is what keeps the constant flow of energy going in there. Even the pilot light on your gas stove maintains that doggone heat inside that tank. And all you got to do is keep that little tiny bit of energy going in there so it can never get low. Just like I explained with the whole 9-volt video and my unsubscribe video of how you can store energy. Once you store that energy, all you got to do is just keep a little tiny bit of energy going. Just a little tiny bit of energy. And when I did that video, I got cussed and called names like you wouldn't believe. And I'm sitting here showing these folks something so incredible. But because of my delivery, or they just didn't understand the physics, or they were trying to look for zero point or over unity, or their version of what they believe free energy is, they called me every single name under the sun. But what I showed them with not just one device, not just one method, but multiple methods in multiple videos that may look crazy on the surface, but if you paid attention to what I just showed you, I showed you how to take your house and make it so incredibly efficient that you would barely have to pay anybody. And now that you've heard this podcast where they're sitting there talking about negative power prices, they're getting to the point where they're desperate and they got to ask people to use more electricity and they will pay you to do so? Folks, I'm going to say this again.
You know, the thing is, I just thought of something. If a town was run strictly by volunteers and the actual people that actually did physical work, like I said, about garbage collectors, water treatment plant people, they would be paid in scrip, blah, blah, blah. If the town did make a profit above a certain amount, because you'd always need a little slush fund, if the company, the town did make, then once a year, on the 1st or 10th of December, anything and everything above that amount would actually be distributed among the adult people, the family members, head of households, equally.
Yeah.
So they would actually get a cash, really cash benefit from volunteering their labor and working for Scripps.
That's why I guess.
See what I'm saying?
That's what I've been trying to say.
Because electricity would be free.
Yeah, electricity is free, and your trash will pay you to use it.
Yes. Come on, man. I mean, it's possible that if the why not? I mean, there's so many people out there that are retired looking for something to do that benefits other people. You know, they've already got their money to live on.
And every
come live here and serve as a city council member.
Every single industry out there, let's take my friend, he's got a cabinet making shop, and there are a lot of sawmills out there. When they're cutting the wood to size or they're cutting the cabinets to size, they generate a lot of sawdust. That sawdust could actually be turned into other type of materials, other type of pressed woods and stuff like that. You could turn it into...
How about a town that's literally run by the people? So city council, somebody comes up with an idea of a new law to pass to better the town. They talk to one or two of the city councils. They think it's a good idea. They bring it before the city council. The city council proposes an ordinance, but the ordinance cannot go into effect unless the entire town, no matter how minor the ordinance is, no matter how major it is, it cannot go into effect unless the entire town votes for it. At least 60% of the population has to vote for it in order for it to become a law or an ordinance.
Well, if you had the perfect society, you wouldn't even have to have a city council. You just have the doggone people get together and brainstorm and make things happen. That's the whole deal.
Well, that's just it. That's just it. Nothing's perfect.
Well,
it would be a total, complete democracy where everybody has a say.
Yep.
And the majority rules.
Well, you know, however people want to govern themselves or be governed, that's up to them. But as far as if people out there want to say that there's a problem in this world, if there's homelessness and you don't like it, solve it. If there's hunger in the world and you don't like it,
solve it. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I want to do. I want to solve this problem. It is a major, major problem.
If your electricity bill's too high, solve it. If you're tired of paying the high fuel prices at the gas station, solve it. Every single solution to every single problem in the existing world that we find ourselves in, nature has resolved every single problem under the sun. It's the, like my buddy Steve said at the top of this deal, nature needs no improvement. Only the arrogance of man requires change. That's it. You start working in harmony with nature. You start paying attention in school. And then, look, don't just let your kids go to school and not teach them nothing. You know, when they go to school, they get the education that the system wants to give them. You know, send them to the school to see what the education system's teaching them and make up the difference by showing them the alternatives whenever they get back home. So you be the educator in your family. All right? You help to show your kids that there are other options outside of what the doggone mainstream wants to tell you. They always tell you that you can't do stuff. And that, just like old Henry Ford said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And he's right. Because if you don't believe it's possible, you ain't going to try it. And if you keep on telling all the different
reasons
why you
can't. Well, the thing is, I do believe this. What I want to do is possible.
Yeah.
It is possible. It can be done. And I'm going to start it. And I'm going to get people that want to help to do just that. Help.
Well, there you go.
Not try to get rich. And just have a good life and help other people have a good life.
And we'll help you spread. We'll help to spread the message. We'll help to put it out
there. I'm doing this.
So,
this is something I've been wanting to do for years and years and years, and I'm in a position now to where I can do it.
I
don't need money to live on. I've already got all the money I need to live on. I can't live. I'm not rich. Don't get me wrong. But I eat good. I'm warm in the winter, and I'm cool in the summer. And I have a really good life. I have 10,000 times more friends than I have enemies.
Well, that's a good thing. But
every enemy I've got 10,000 people that like me.
Yep. Either way, what we just explained to you here today is your solution on how, look, May said, I read this comment earlier, and I got clothes drying on the line in the house to save energy. So, you got ways that you can save energy just by letting nature do work for you, you know? And
What's the number? What is the estimated number of homeless people in the United States?
I have no idea, but I did a show about it one day, and it's unnecessary. They don't have to be homeless. People, you know, like
right.
I said, some people choose. They like that lifestyle, but some people, just because they fell through the cracks of society, and instead of society wanting to throw them in jail or throw people in jail for trying to feed these people, you'd think that they would
right.
listen to what we're trying to say here. When they're looking for solutions on how to get people from hanging out in front of the doggone or even behind the restaurant to grab food out of the dumpster because they're starving, maybe you help them get a home. Maybe you teach them how to garden. Maybe you give them something to look forward to. You give them some quality of life.
Right.
See, here's the thing, folks. I want to go to these town council meetings, and I want to sit in, and I want to talk to these people, and I want to tell them the same thing I'm telling you on the radio. I want to tell them how stupid they are because they're wasteful and all that kind of stuff. But you know, the way the system's set up, I can't. The government ain't going to allow me there. The Congress and the Senate ain't going to allow me to come in and voice my opinion. They're not going to allow me to share knowledge with them because it doesn't fall underneath their guidelines. The city council, they got business to do. We're doing the people's business. No, you're not doing the people's business. You're doing your business, because if you was doing the people's business, I'd have a voice. And so if I come in here to tell you that you got resources available to you, not just in your town, but other towns trying to get rid of stuff, these are resources that could benefit your people, and you're not willing to listen? Seriously? This is why the system failed. This is why you're always hearing all these controversies. This is why the environmentalists are frauds. Every single environmentalist organization out there are frauds. They're not doing anything for the world. You know, you got the whole whale wars thing where they're out there chasing off the fishermen or the Japanese fishermen because they don't want the whales to get. I get that. But they're out there actively trying to do something like that. But as far as the rest of them, if you're just out there protesting, if you got a wooden stick and a paper sign and you're talking about saving the trees, you could be over there planting a tree. You could be teaching people about how to use things more efficiently. You could be teaching people how to recycle everything. Papers, plastics, everything. And if it was all done to benefit the community, if every community had a recycling center where they were actually using these recycling centers to give people jobs to go in and recycle these things and turn them into useful products and energy resources, then your community would pay for itself. You wouldn't have no trash man running around. Wait, we're going to put the trash man out of business now. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You take that trash man and you take his equipment and you have him go over to other towns that aren't as smart as you and pick up their trash and bring it over there and you turn it into treasure. So you're benefiting. They're like, hey, why you guys keep buying up our trash? Why you guys keep taking away our trash? Well, because we're using it. We're making money with it. Thanks. You know? And maybe they'll start doing that. It'll catch on. But the trucks that they use, they're never going to go to waste. Because somebody needs something hauled somewhere. So they're not going to go out of business if they understand what's going on. And they learn to adapt, just like all these power companies are learning to adapt. They're going into wind power, they're going into solar power, while they have their coal-fired power plant running, they're investing in the others. While they have their nuclear power plant running, they're investing in the others. And the hydroelectric dams, they're going to work as long as somebody keeps maintaining them and the river keeps flowing, so they don't have to really worry about it, but they're still investing. You know, they're looking at more efficient ways to deliver energy. More efficient storage. They're making more power than they can use. They're making more power than you can use. But they're still charging you the rate, even though you paid for it. You paid for it through the subsidies. You paid for it via your taxes. You paid for it.
Yeah, well, they do that right here in Louisville. Have been for the past 20-some years. They charge you, the city charges you a fee along with your water bill for sewage disposal. They actually, and then the garbage pickup, they take the garbage pickup, which they charge you, $2, $3, $4, $5 a month, whatever. But that's every Dago family in, Louisville. And they turn around and take it to the dump. They bury it and then they cap it off and makes methane gas. They pump the gas over to a power plant. They burn the gas. Make steam, turn turbine, make electricity, and put it back into the grid and charge the grid for it.
That's right.
So they make money for taking your trash from you, and then they make money by turning it into gas. Now, the estimate is that if they ever do finally cap it off, it's making gas right now. Has been for the past 15 years. And I've lived here for 30, so I know. They've been making electricity and selling it back to the grid past 10, 15, 20 years, And they claim that if at one day they ever do cap it off, it will produce gas for the next 75 to 80 years.
Yep.
Think about that a minute. So if you started a town that did its own, that just that way, I mean, daggone, come on, man. I mean, the town would not only charge taxes, but if it made a profit, it would share the profit with all the residents of the town.
All right, I want to prove what you just said to everybody out there. If you go out there and you look up septic systems, you're going to notice something. The septic systems have two vents on them. One on the main tank where all the waste goes into, and one on the secondary tank where the water from the first tank makes it over and it starts to break it down. And by the time it gets out and then goes through your potty pond and all that, then it's classified by the EPA as fresh water again. It's no longer sewage. So your septic system has a vent on it for one reason and one reason only. Because as that methane is being produced, it is pressurizing your tank. And so if you didn't have a vent on there, your sewer tank would blow up. It'd expand and go pow, and you'd have doo-doo hitting the fan. So you got to have a vent. And so if you take that vent and you pipe that vent into a chamber and you store that with a pressure release that will be set to guide it back out into the atmosphere, if your pressure in your septic tank gets too high, it'll guide it off somewhere to a less pressurized deal. Then you'll never have to worry about it blowing up. But your septic tank will sit there and generate gas that can be used for energy.
Yeah.
That's why they got a bin on
it,
them,
folks.
It can
be cleaned with activated charcoal and a few other items. Just run it through it. It's no power net necessary. It has its own pressure, and it can be used, cleaned up enough to even actually cook your food or heat your home in the wintertime.
Yeah.
It can be used in the summertime to generate electricity. I mean, come on, man. There's just so many ways to do this.
Right.
And there's engineers out there that are retired or fresh out of college that know how to do this.
For those folks who don't believe what I'm saying and you want to test it scientifically, take a couple different containers. One of them put some old rotted fruit in there. One of them put some old rotted vegetables in there. And, basically just either drop a little bit of sugar in there or throw some sort of yeast in there, something that's going to start the natural breakdown process. And what you want to do is like put them in a couple wine bottles, all right, and put a balloon over the top of them, all right, and then set that balloon really close to your favorite family photo or, your really cool looking drapes that you're hanging in or next to your perfectly white ceiling, and just set there, let them sit up there, all right. Put a live stream camera on there so everybody can witness the debacle when what's about to occur finally happens. So you got this bottle full of sloppy mush or rotted fruit or whatever, and it will start off gassing as soon as it starts to begin the fermentation process. And if you don't stop that balloon from expanding, it will pressurize that balloon to the extent, well, all of a sudden it will blow up that balloon and it will squirt that trashy looking substance all over your drapes or your white ceiling or your family photo. It pressurizes itself so you don't even need a doggone pump. You just have to understand the physics of it. If your container that is capable of holding more pressure than the out pressure, then you never have to worry about the container exploding. So while this thing is doing its job, it will pressurize the tanks for you. You don't even have to have a pump to do it. And you can have a pressure gauge on the top of that, and you can see that as the stuff begins to rot, the pressure will continue to rise, and you got a pressure release valve over on the side. When it gets overpressurized, it will guide it off into another tank that will allow all that pressure to go into that other empty tank, so you can connect this to as many tanks as you can possibly gather. And just keep putting your waste down into this other, the rotting tank, and use that to do the job. You turn your sewer and your waste into free energy.
You said something about putting some biodegradable products in a wine bottle. If you fill that wine bottle, say you'd like 2/3 full, and then put a little bit of water in it, and just take one pinch, just a pinch, of what's called Ridex. They use it in septic tanks. Yep. Put that in there. That's your activation, your bacteria activation. And now, if you cork this thing, I mean super tight, it will blow that bottle up. Now, how much pressure would it take to blow up a wine bottle to actually bust it? I'm saying over 200 PSI.
Yep.
So it's capable of building pressures that high. Now here's the thing. 1 PSI will raise water 2 feet. So if you allowed it, if you put a regulator on it, to if you had a container that would hold 100 PSI, you put a pressure regulator on it that would only release the pressure once it reached 50 PSI, it would push water 100 feet.
There you go.
Now, here's the thing. Think about this a minute. You're making methane gas. You're using the pressure to push water 100 feet. Anything over that 50 pounds, all right, would go out into your gas lines to your homes.
Yep.
For cooking food and heating. Now you also have all this water up 100 feet.
That's right. And a gallon of water. Pressure.
A gallon of water is 8 pounds, roughly. So you now have 8 pounds per gallon, 100 feet. That is 800 foot-pounds of energy per gallon.
Yep.
Think about it. And now, all of a sudden, this water is coming down, and it's generating electricity. Now, once it comes down generating electricity, then it's run through a purification plant to make sure that it's pure for drinking purposes.
Yep.
Now the people are drinking this water and cooking with this water. Duh, I mean, and then the water is recycled back again. Come on, man. I mean, it's unbelievable. You're using it's just like taking the greenhouse and reusing the same water over and over and over again because the sun is heating the greenhouse, the water's condensing on the glass or the plastic of the greenhouse, and it's running down, feeding water back to the plants again.
Well,
so actually, a system like this would work really great in the desert.
One of the most incredible fires that I ever saw was the spontaneous combustion of straw and hay. A doggone sail barn up there had some rotted hay up underneath there, and as it was rotting, it was putting off heat, and it eventually spontaneously combusted and lit the whole barn on fire, and it took them days to get that thing out.
Right.
So if now you can't find free energy, you're not looking. All right. Well, I don't know, Raymond. We got a lot of ideas out there. We put a lot of solutions on the table. Now, how do we get people to share it?
I don't know if it's the truth or not, but I heard of somebody, several different people say that on one of the Indian reservations, and maybe more, that they have allowed large cities to dump their treated sewage. And one of the reservations, they actually have mountains of this stuff. Duh! Give it a few years, and they've got the most fertile land in the United States.
Well, farmers are already over-fertilizing. That's why you got all these doggone ponds growing duckweed and watermill, because that's nature's
way. But they're using chemical fertilizer, and I'm talking natural fertilizer here. Come on, man.
But I'm also what I'm also saying, though, that even in their accidental environmental hazard that they've just produced, starting a domino effect, there's a plus, because you could turn around and turn a negative into a positive and assist nature cleaning that doggone stuff back up. Get the water back into its natural balance and work in harmony with nature. Nature will provide you everything. Everything.
Right. Right.
And once the farmer figures this out, the farmer won't be paying for diesel fuel anymore. Once the farmer realizes there's no such thing as waste, then the farmer will be recycling everything on the farm, including the fertilizer. You can use last year's fertilizer after it's extracted from the ground via the rainwater and run off into your retaining ponds that keeps it out of everybody else's pond. You're growing tons and tons of duckweed that's turned into biodiesel. Plus, you take that same duckweed and you can use it for your new fertilizer. You can put this back right onto your and recycle last year's fertilizer using this knowledge. So the farmer doesn't have to pay for all this oil. The farmer doesn't even have to pay for the oil in his tractor, because all the oil that he takes out of his tractor and puts fresh oil in the tractor, we'll show him how to take that same oil, clean it up, and reuse it again and again. And even the crud from the filtration process turns into fuel. So he can use an old heat, wood burning or oil burning style deal to, in the wintertime, heat his barn up with the filters that were taking all the carbon out of the doggone oil and putting the oil back into its steel. If you took and made a farm that was completely and utterly 100% efficient, that you recycled everything. I'm even talking about what the cows and the horses and the pigs drop on the ground. I'm talking about everything. Nothing gets wasted. You turn all these into energy systems. You make that farm so incredibly efficient. First off, your farm is going to be super clean. You're going to have less likely of problems going on with too much chemistry in your waters and all that kind of stuff. You got the perfect balance between nature. You got the perfect balance in your wallet. You got extra money in your pocket. You could take some good organic vegetables, and you'll have customers out the eyeball because they trust you more than they trust anybody else, because you're environmentally friendly and you're not trashing their property while you're making a profit. So, one farmer
and
does
that's
that,
why I want to
the
use,
next farmer going to do it.
That's why I want to use homeless people. They have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Well, there you go. And you give them back their dignity.
Nothing to lose.
You
everything
teach them
to
a
gain.
Trade. You make them feel like a part of something, because they are. You make
yes,
the world
because
a
they
place.
Are. I like what you said. You don't make them feel like a part of something important. They are something important.
That's right. Well, folks,
even down to the smallest ones.
The energy industry has inadvertently gave you free energy. The environmentalists out there have inadvertently gave you free energy. The whole world out there has essentially gave you free energy. Nature has gave you free energy. Energy stand the death spiral. They're right now trying to make sure that when it transfers over to the free energy side, that they're still going to charge you for it. The free energy deniers of the world are slowing down progress. That brings us to the laugh out loud section of today's show. It's funny, because they're helping me out. All the ones that's calling me up and cussing me out, foul-mouthed heathens out there giving me all kinds of rash on my videos because they don't understand what I just provided to them on how to become super efficient if they just paid attention to detail. So right underneath the nose of the power company, I put it out there. Right underneath the nose of the government, I put it out there. I put it out there in the most crazy and unique fashion. I took a heck of a beating for it, but nonetheless, oil subsidies going to the doggone oil companies to not make oil, subsidies going to the farmer to make less products, to make less crops, to not farm certain pieces of land. There's people that get paid to not farm their land. That ought to tell you something. And there's people starving, but people are getting paid to not farm their land. Do you get what I'm trying to tell you, folks?
Yeah, I get what you're trying to tell me.
The control of free energy is what we've got going on. And the cost to you is you're going to sit there and argue with each other. You're going to sit there and be the hindrance to us basically achieving our sovereignty and our freedoms and everything that we keep talking about. We want to make the world a better place. If you're involved in an environmentalist group, bring them to Shaziz Radio. Bring them here. If you got a government official out there that's got a problem that needs resolved, bring them here. Bring all the energy deniers. Bring all your best scientists. Shaziz, the crazy-haired mad science guy, is throwing down the gauntlet. I dare any one of the best to come here and try to tell me that energy isn't free. Try to prove me wrong. Because I will match my science book with their science book any day. Folks, if you want this world to be a better place, then it's up to us as a people to make it happen. And if you want this message to be go for ear to ear so that everybody out there hears the same thing that you did, the only one that can pass it on is you. Share this message with somebody. Share the podcast. Take the podcast and rebroadcast it on your own network. Cut and chop and do whatever it is. I don't even care if you take this message and you chop it up and you try to make me look stupid on the other side. I don't care. Because when they come here to try to laugh in my face and I put my physics up against their physics, I put my knowledge of science up against their knowledge, well, I guess then they're going to hear the message anyway. So no matter what, we still make our world a better place. I'm willing to take a verbal beating. I'm even willing to take a doggone a typewriter beating on the keyboard beating on there. Of course, if you come on my channel and you throw out the foul mouth heathenism, I'm going to delete your doggone comment. All right? If you come on my YouTube channel and tell me how stupid I am, I'm going to delete your comment. But if you come on my YouTube and you start talking about physics and you start talking about science and you say, you know, I saw something in that doggone video and I heard something that you said, I understand that doggone redneck hot tub now. I understand why you showed that redneck wind turbine. Because that redneck wind turbine otherwise would have been trash. That plastic barrel would have ended up in the trash. But instead I showed you how to use it. I showed you how to use physics to make this thing pick up wind from any direction. Not just putting blades on the outside where the wind has to come from a specific direction and it has to be guided in it. No, this will pick it up from every direction. It doesn't matter which way this thing's facing, vertical or horizontal. It will pick it up in every direction.
Sabonis.
That's right. And if you take that doggone concept and you add to it your physics and your knowledge, you will make a generator that you can put everywhere. You can hide this thing under the ground and vent your air in through big old covert pipes. Just think about it. Have you ever been around a covert pipe and you hear that big hum going on in that covert pipe? That's the wind blowing through there. And there's also an air temperature difference as that air is being cooled down. And what happens when hot air and cool air mix? Yeah?
Yeah.
It causes it to turbulate. Huh. So you turn something that nature's already doing into a plus. Folks, that's today's Mad Science Show. And if you don't like what I said, if I offended you today, apologize, but I ain't going to stop shouting to all four points of the compass until people start grasping on the common sense. Share this message with somebody. If you got somebody out there complaining about something that needs to be fixed, bring them to the table. We got the Knights of the Round Table on Sundays, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. And actually, if you're over in Ireland or Scotland and all them places, you can listen in on the doggone radio show over there, whatever your time zone is, People for People Radio Network, and Wolf Spirit Radio, anyone who decides they like our show and they want to rebroadcast it, I want you to spread the message to everybody. We're not asking you for anything. We're not asking you for no donations. We're not asking you for anything other than to pass the word. That's it. That's it. Come here and enjoy the chat rooms for free. Jump on Skype and talk with us. Share your ideas. Everything's free. Take whatever you want off the site. Copy it. Whatever. Send it on down the road.
I know, Shaziz, you've many times, hundreds of times over the years, stressed the point that you're not asking for donations. However, for my concept, my problem, my project that I want to start, I am asking for donations. Not money, but time.
Yep.
People's knowledge. If you want to help and want to donate money, fine. But I promise you, on my life, not one penny will go in my pocket.
Yep.
It will go strictly for this project. I don't need money for myself. I need money to help get this project going, because there are going to be certain things that will cost money, such as gasoline and transportation to and from and so forth, to meet people that want to volunteer their time and their knowledge to get this thing going. We can take hundreds of thousands of people that are homeless off the street give them a decent life, a purpose in life, and be contributing to society instead of a deficit on society. Right now, they're on food stamps if they can get it, and they're on welfare, this, that, and there are a large percentage of homeless people are out there that they're more than willing to work, but they just can't find a decent job. Well, let's give them a job building a town that will self-sustain. Let's do that. If there's anybody out there has any knowledge of starting a non-profit organization that is truly non-profit, please contact me.
All right. Well, that's what all I'm saying. If you guys like the idea that he's talking about, you can do that. And look, knowledge is free. Energy is free. The only thing we need to do is pull our resources together. So that's why I'm not asking anybody for money. If we want to pitch in on a project and work on it together, then I can be satisfied with, you know, that kind of deal. Because it's not a donation. It's a partnership at that point. So you get people in your community willing to share their resources and share their knowledge. Shaziz Radio is here to help share knowledge that the other portion of the so-called education system doesn't want to share. The reason why mad science exists is because mainstream science has sold their soul to the devil, so to speak. They basically sold out humanity, because everything of what I'm saying right here is on the books. Everything what I'm saying on here is proven science. Everything I'm saying on here is researchable. It's repeatable. It's testable. Everything that I've been saying there, I've been pointing out information that exists out here. Stephen Gibbons up at the top of the chat room, Super Chat, has put together a resource page of all kinds of alternative energy researchers. All kinds of information. The chat rooms, they're always throwing links in the chat room. They're sharing information over on the other side. And instead of all the trolls coming around here hassling, or all the doggone climate change deniers, I'm a climate change denier. I'm talking about the free energy deniers. I'm talking about the environmental frauds and the trolls of the world that want to go out there and complain but not come together, like Raymond was talking about, by building communities and making things happen to show, to lead by example what could be accomplished. We can solve all the problems: homelessness, starvation, sickness, wars, rumors of wars, plagues and famine. If you really want to, as a people, make this world better, then let's get up and do it. I'm there. So, peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Mad Science. Thank you a lot, Raymond. I hope that people, deliver this message. Pass it on, folks.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, hurry up. We're on the way out.
All right. Okay. If there's anybody out there that does have any idea that they'd like to help in some way, please contact me through Shaziz Radio.
Yep. There you go. And if you want to join in on the show tomorrow or any day, Mad Science or Knights of the Round Table, it's as easy as a Skype call or to jumping into the chat room. Peace and love, everybody. We got this.
That stood up to me.
Yeah, but we can forget about him.
Yeah, it was just one hand.
Ooh.
One hand.
Yeah, you're right. It's just one hand.
Yeah, boss. They're puny.
Puny? Say, let's pretend this brain is a puny little ant.
Did that hurt?
Nope.
Well, how about this one?
Are you kidding?
Well, how about this? You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100-1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.